last time on the Don and Mike Show.
You know that the lovable Dr. Seuss drove his wife to commit suicide.
Oh, my God, really?
And she wrote this note. I love you,
I will take my life. I will take it with a knife. I will cause you a strike with my knife.
I didn't take a pill. I didn't leave a will.
You and your new whore will dance all around while I am laying dead in the ground. Dead I am.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hey, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, you can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's
but
right.
Turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Don't feel very good.
The Don and Mike Show.
You must have flipped your raspberry, Joker.
Oh, really?
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it. Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find.
That's right.
The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What?
Get into it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, he died for your sins. You may know him as Jesus Christ. I know him as Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know that Phil Hochberg, he called me today just to offer a little friendly advice.
Really? What did Phil have to say?
He said to me, Rob, he says,
yeah,
live with passion. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Chaz and all the ships at sea. Broadcasting Northern Voices for all ears.
Yeah.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening to the show, everybody. Now, listen. It's absolutely true. You could go out today and buy the new Backstreet Boys CD for roughly the same price as a share of Westwood One stock.
Now, that means either the Backstreet Boys are way overpriced or our stock is at a bargain range.
But either way, it's the Don and Mike Radio Show, a national radio show syndicated by early auspices of Westwood One. New episode for you on Wednesday, November 29th. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. 877-365-3636. That's your toll-free hotline to the hits, 877-365-3636. You know we love saying it this time every single day.
Welcome to my world.
Everyone, indeed, welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
Because this is a show, at least for the first 5 minutes.
Miracles,
that's built on structure.
Yes, it is.
The beginning of the show is organized.
It's very important to us, too. We all require that structure.
Same thing, same time, every day.
Step into my heart.
But once we get to the end of this with the built-in you in mind, that's when it goes to crap.
Yeah, but at this point in the show, it's usually quite seamless, Don.
We're tighter.
Welcome.
Tighter than a nunny's cunny. And, of course, it's built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind.
It's the silliest opening we've ever had.
Well, now.
I love it, though.
Now we're officially loose. Now we're not tight. Now it's just a loose, crappy, college-style radio show. Listen, got to start today. Our lead story.
Yes.
We need freaks.
Freaks, we got a couple of them yesterday, but we need them for Friday's show.
Yeah, we didn't really hit it hard yesterday. I want to make sure we pound this today. Friday, we're having our final freak show of the year.
We need good freaks.
And yes, it's a freak show. It's a talent show. It's a what would you do show. It's all of those shows combined into one for your listening pleasure. We're giving away $1,000 courtesy of Hotwire.com.
All right.
And who couldn't use $1,000 for Christmas? So if you've got an odd, unusual carnival-style act that you would like to perform for us, it's the freak show, it's the talent show, it's the what would you do show, all of those shows rolled into one.
Cool.
We need to hear from you now. We need to audition your acts at 877-365-3636. That's the whole show on Friday.
Good.
We're just going to do nothing but nonstop carnival-style acts
now
on Friday's show.
When you're talking about freaks, you're talking about not only things that are wrong with people, but things that people have done to themselves,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, absolutely. And don't forget our motto, nudity never hurts.
Yeah, you can be a moderate, middle road, middle of the line freak, and if you, you kick it over to the top with a little nudity, you're A-okay with us.
And you got yourself some kind of talent, well, bring it on down Friday, that's the day, grand prize, $1,000, just in time for the holidays. So call us, please, if you would like to sign up for that contest. Let's just take a call now, an unscreen call, and then on with the show, because I'm sure this call won't go well. They never do.
Never
does.
That's a rather rosy outlook for the phones today.
It's a realistic outlook, Mike.
It is indeed. I can't disagree with you there.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Here it goes.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
And you're a psychic.
Yeah, Evo, come.
Okay, see, what did I tell you?
You were right.
That's a bad start for today's show.
Very bad.
And that would probably be the first time they've deleted something out on today's show.
I think that was definitely not included in the festivity.
In essence, what the fella said after, Buzz, did that get through?
I'm checking now.
Did that get through or was that deleted?
Yeah.
It was gone. Deleted, yeah.
Of course it was deleted.
The guy who incidentally, I don't want to stereotype here, but it was obvious he was calling us from the South.
Yes, he was built with us in mind.
Said,
that might be deleted too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's not the word.
Tying the act together with
it's not the word.
Oh, come on. You can't say that?
I just know that based on experience from the rule book. But once again, Don,
flip back over, Buzz, and tell me if they deleted that out.
I'm listening.
Okay, are you hearing it?
They
deleted it again?
Yes.
The guy said he wanted to eat something.
Yes. And it was something unsavory.
Something that's salty.
And that's I think that's where we can go with it.
Yeah, that's a record. We've been on the air for exactly 5 minutes. They've already hit the dump button twice on us.
I feel warm and protected with that dump button.
Not me.
I know. You feel it as a threat. I feel as though...
It's a total threat.
It sometimes protects us from evildoers, wherever you are.
Communism. And hold on. Dennis Murphy's on the line to say it got through.
It could get through.
How could that be? Buzz was monitoring the... were you monitoring the air monitors, Buzz?
I was flipping back and forth trying to hear you and it at the same time, but I didn't hear it.
Which one got through, Dennis? Mine or the guy's?
The guy.
Beautiful, then.
I missed the first one.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad.
All right. The second one didn't get through, though?
No, the second one didn't get through, but the first one did.
The more tasteful...
Wait a minute, what, Rob? What?
So when you made it nicer, that's when it's
being... Yeah, right, absolutely. The more
that might have something to do with audio quality.
The more tasteful of the two references,
I think,
the more artistic of the two did not get through.
And as it should be. As it should be.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
Okay, you all have a good day.
Right.
You're dying to say something else, Dennis.
I know you want to... What do you want to plug? Your Christmas CD?
Can I go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey,
is it time for that yet? I mean, it's after Thanksgiving. Is it time for...
Yeah, it's officially time. He can start peddling his Christmas CD.
So maybe it's time for us to play a selection.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Really?
Mike, it's not even December yet.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Dennis?
Could you please... You know how they do commercial for artists on television?
Yes.
Could you please... A voiceover and do some clips.
Yes,
I will do that for you. I will do that because you are a friend of mine.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
I will do that, but you come down here to the studio and we'll do it.
Okay.
Listen, it's not too early to promote the album, but it's definitely too early to start playing the freaking thing.
In fact, I might even write you a commercial, Dennis, where I'll say something like, "He's traveled the world over.
No,
He's loved by millions.
Do it in your craft voice.
Yeah.
He's traveled the world over. He's loved by millions of citizens. And now, Dennis Murphy is here for you from Kraft. Take baby marshmallows, Kraft caramels, cheese, and a little of what that gentleman mentioned in the first call of the show. Bake and serve from Kraft.
All right, Dennis, go ahead with your plug. We got stuff to get to today.
Okay, if you want my Christmas CD, hey, it's a new and revised cover. Go to DennisMurphy.com.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dan.
Don't have that CD lying around?
Yeah. I got 500 of them.
No, I was talking.
Yeah, we've got ours.
Okay.
We've got ours.
Okay, y'all have a great show, and I'll be listening.
Thank you, Dennis.
I'm kind of in the spirit now that the Thanksgiving.
You know, sadly, I don't think the CD will play in our new studio because we don't have our backup CD players anymore. So if Dennis has new technology, he might want to send us a new copy.
Ah, okay.
The new one won't play in here now.
Gotcha. Hello.
I just love that.
Not in my show.
I do.
Hello.
Yes, would you like to talk to a freak?
Yes, do you have a freak for our freak show on Friday?
You have one right here.
What's your name, sir?
Cliff.
Cliff, what's your freaky thing you do?
I can shoot ping pong balls from between my butt cheeks and hit slowly moving targets.
I would say that that's something. Now, we've had girls shoot ping pong balls.
And bananas.
Yes, out of their place. But never have we had a guy shoot ping pong balls out of his duke.
Now, do you do it by flexing your buttock muscles, or do you actually do it from the bad place?
I can do it from either or.
Oh, well then, come on down. You're welcome.
You're a freak.
We'll see you on Friday.
There'll be no dimples in the balls.
Okay, hold on. Talk to Lisa, please. She'll get your information.
Fantastic.
Give you time to come down. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
I have a freak thing for you.
Well, what do you do, sir? What's your name?
Jack.
Yes, Jack. What do you do?
I'm trying to be nice on how to say it, but I could give myself oral and finish the act.
You can give yourself oral.
That's correct.
I don't know how crazy I am about having you finish the act.
He's a lucky man.
And I
would
put a bag over my head so no one recognizes
me. I have a memory, too, of that. He can't do that.
Oh, sure he can.
No, I can't.
No. You're talking about when the guy wanted to fist himself.
No, that's not. I don't
around the studio.
I could be wrong, but I'd have a feeling Charlie would put the kibosh on that one.
I don't think so.
I can do it. It has been done.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with it if a guy wants to perform oral on himself.
I'm not sure. I think we should get a ruling on that one.
Well, I think, listen, I'm no fag. I'm just trying to give the best possible show.
No, don't look at me like that.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that.
Okay.
And I'm not,
because the first two calls have been a guy who's going to shoot ping pong balls out of his ass.
And a guy who's going to perform oral on himself. And I'm all.
That guy can eat his own stuff and.
No, that guy, he can't do that.
Right.
You can't eat your own, stuff. No. That you can't do. I don't see why a guy couldn't. Can you physically perform oral on yourself?
I can do it.
Really? You must be very limber. Why are you just looking at me?
Sometimes you fascinate me. I'm curious. I'm curious about your desire for this.
No. Okay, again.
I got paid many bucks to do it one time.
I know, it's all for the show.
For the millionth time.
I know, it's all for the entertainment value. I'm just curious.
People will not.
I know the same way the guy said he was going to fist himself. It's not the fact that I don't think it's show worthy. I think it's the fact that you're joy at it.
People will not continue to listen to this show if we don't continue to provide them with stuff that they haven't heard before.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
I understand.
Said that. I never said that you were getting.
Will Lisa be watching?
No. No, Lisa won't be watching.
Okay, that would have been a big.
So I think that if you can do it, you simply can't finish the job.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, and that simply is personal taste, if you'll pardon the pun.
I can put a bag over my face, right, or something.
Put a bag over your face? What are you going to do? Cut a little hole in the bag?
Listen, again, I'm no fag, but if you put a bag over your face, how would we know that you're doing it?
Okay, you're right. I won't use a bag.
All right.
You're right.
All right, hold on, please. Hold on, please.
This is such an interesting first part of the show. Would it be necessary for him, I suppose, to be turgid?
Yes, I would think. I would imagine.
That would be a first.
Yeah. It would be.
Oh, God.
It sure would be.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. Well, let us know. Let us know what else you got going. Okay? We got a funny list today that I want to share with you. Oh, and first I want to say, if my dog Clink is listening, I feel awful for this dog, our German Shepherd. He had, I'm not sure exactly what he had done. He had some kind of surgery done on his left paw, his back paw. And he's been walking around the house the last couple of days. He's got like a doggy bandage on his leg.
Right.
And he's on special doggy antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida says to me all the time, you got to monitor him. You got to watch him. You can't leave him alone. You can't. If he goes outside, you got to go outside with him. If you leave the house, you got to put him in the doggy kennel. Well, suffice to say, I had to leave the house this morning.
Right.
I didn't put him in the doggy kennel. I find that whole experience to be inhumane.
Where you confine the dog, but in this case, confine him so he's not wandering all over and putting pressure on the paw?
Right. Well, no. It's mainly because she doesn't want what happened. When I came home today, my dog, and I ask you not, no pun intended.
S being the operative word.
That there was dog diarrhea.
Oh.
And now, thankfully, it was not on the rug.
Oh, goodies. He kept it on the tile?
It was on the tile.
That's great.
But what happened was he started on one side of the room and went to the other, and you could actually see physically the skid mark where he just kind of
dragged himself,
yeah, and wiped his butt. Now, I walked in the house.
So he obviously had a little itching problem, too.
And where it happened was right as you walk into the front door of the house.
Welcome.
So normally,
so you came back inside, both legs went up in the air. Whoa!
Normally, if I would come home, I'll be honest, if I would come home and there would be something like that in another room of the house and I saw it, I would leave it.
You'd ignore it.
I would ignore it, and I would feign innocence. When Frida asked me, I'd say, "Boy,
I didn't smell anything.
I didn't know a dog crapped in the house." Well, there's no way around this. And you combine this with the fact that she's given me the lecture about you got to watch the dog this week, and you can't let the dog go outside by himself. And if you leave the house, whatever you do, you got to put him in his doggy kennel. So, and I mean, it had to be, the area had to be, I don't know, I'm talking like a 15-foot area.
This would be because the dog's also on all that medication.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, the medication. And it was runny, and it was like soup.
It's not a well dog.
Like a Campbell's soup. So, as soon as I walked in, and I got a real gag threshold.
Especially dog poop, and dog poop in that condition is the worst.
And I mean, I'm smelling it, and I'm already gagging, just smelling it, and I'm thinking, now there's no way that I can go into the other room and tell Frida when she comes home that I didn't notice it. Then I thought, well, you know what I could do? I guess I could just go back and get in my car
and pretend you were just out
and drive around for 2 hours
until Frida came back.
Until Frida comes home. But now that is, you know, that's dumb. Plus, at this point, thank God, the dog and the other dog hadn't started to play with all the poop and get it all over the house.
Well, at least you don't have Brandy there that would be, dining.
Yeah, you're right. That dog loved eating poop.
Man, look at this souffle. Oh, my God. Look what Clink left for me.
So I get out all of the paper towels and stuff.
Horrible exercise.
And I get out the 409 stuff and the pine saw, and I'm doing this, and I swear to God, as I am cleaning this up, I throw up.
Because it's
hideous. And you know, when you throw up, and then you realize that you're throwing up because you threw up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's like you get the first wave, which is pure nausea.
Right.
Then you get the second wave.
I'm about to throw up right now. That is nasty.
Then you get the second wave.
Did you make it to a bathroom, or did you throw up right into the...
On the dog poop.
Of all the substances that you can find in your house, whether it's human beings do it or animals, dog poop, in that condition, to me, I can relate to that, because I think that is the number one gag reflex.
It was the worst, and then I puked, and it was just a little bile, okay? It was just a little...
It's like a beyond a gag.
Yeah, it was that... just a little of the creamy bile coming out.
Right.
And then once I realized that, I looked down, and I saw that what came out of me was now mixing with what was on the floor.
That, I'm not even there, but I'm already getting the gag reflex.
Then it was Katie barred the door,
really?
And I mean, it was all over the place. So now I'm looking to clean it up. Diarrhea and my own puke.
Jesus.
And at this moment, as I am diving into this job, and I'm trying desperately not to throw up again, and the dogs don't know why. I've put the dogs in the doggy kennel now, and they don't know why, and they're both barking.
Right.
Because I'm home, and they don't know why they're in the doggy kennel. And I'm scrubbing, and I'm doing this. It's at this moment that the doorbell rings, and I go to the door, and I come to the door. And, of course, it's my wife, in her never-ending quest to have stuff done at our house, say, hi. We're the guys who are here to reorganize your closets today.
Oh, no.
I said, hi, how you doing? And at that moment, they smelled, and they looked on the ground.
And they looked at you.
And I had on rubber gloves.
Right.
And I had in my hand a giant wad of paper towels.
That was
multi. And I said, hi, listen.
The colors were multifold.
My dog got sick, and I threw up, so,
Oh, God.
Come on in. Come on in.
Were they able to walk into the door and miss the...
They were able... They had to,
far enough into the foyer?
They had to take the giant step over.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
To get over.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then by the time she got home, all the stuff was cleaned up, and the guys were there with the, with the stuff, and I didn't even mention to her about the puke. You know,
tell you, the pets.
I just said to her, I said, hey, the dog diarrheaed all over the front of the house. Mm. She said, well, why would the dog do that? I said, well, it's kind of like putting the dog in the kennel, and, you know, we got into the whole...
I bet you'll put that dog in the kennel from now on.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have the dog put to sleep today.
Oh, God.
I'm putting the dog down today.
Having the dog destroyed.
And I love that dog.
I know you do.
But, goddamn, he is sick, and that's the gross.
Well, how's his paw? Is his paw doing any better?
Yeah, his paw, I guess.
How's his ma?
It's impossible to tell how his paw is doing, because he's a dog.
Right.
You know, it's like...
Well, you have to look at him walk and stuff like that.
He's walking on it better, but when we ask him, you know, this is how retarded we are with the dog.
Right.
We get down, we go, oh, Clinky, Clinky, how's your leg? Oh, do you have an owie leg? Now, to him, it sounds the same as when we're saying to him, you know, that's a good boy.
I'm fine. My paw is just a little sore.
Yes. Colonel Clink, our dog. So that's how I spent my morning. Now, listen, Robbie, very rarely do we go with a top 10 list, especially a top 10 list that was sent in by someone who listens to the show. But I got to go with this from a guy in Rochester, New York.
You teased me about this earlier.
A guy named Chris Weigel sends in top 10 baby gifts for Rob's unborn child.
Wonderful.
Oh,
wonderful.
Nice.
Terrific.
Okay. Nice of him to think of us.
Top 10 gifts for the baby Spiewak. Number 10, gun rack for the stroller. Number 9, hooded bath towel with KKK motif, just like just like daddy's.
Oh, God.
Number 8, little stormtrooper booties. Number 7, gift certificate for skinhead tattoos. Number 6, Fisher Price Ruby Ridge and Waco playsets. Here's a funny list. Number 5, Little Golden Books. Spooks, Fairies, and Heave.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Number 4,
no.
Baby's First Confederate Flag Set.
Baby's First.
Number 3, Baby's First Grand Imperial Wizard Doll.
Oh, God. For the Spiewak baby.
Sure. Number 2, Ava Braun Bedtime Stories. And the number 1 present for the new Spiewak baby. A Nazi mobile. How do you pronounce it?
Mobile.
Mobile. With Hitler, Goebbels, Goring, and Himmler spinning overhead to the music of Deutschland Uber Alles.
Oh, God.
Well,
there you go. The baby's gifts, Rob.
That's delightful. And if anyone wants to go with that, go ahead and check the registration, see what's still available.
Absolutely.
You know, we get fat stuff all the time from people, and it's thrown away every day. It's crap. I read that. I laughed out loud.
You have cultivated quite an image for yourself, Rob.
Yeah, well, you know, it's based in truth, I suppose. I don't know. A horrible thing. What a horrible thing to say.
Baby's first Confederate flag.
There you go.
And I feel the child will inherit its mother's temperament. We're hoping.
Jesus Christ. Mike and I were trying to give Rob the lecture today. We talked about Rob's the baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Adolf is going to be born in just a couple of weeks now.
Yes. Right. December 15th.
And we were both trying to tell him, whatever you do, get your wife to breastfeed.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's the easiest way out when you're a dad.
Yeah, your wife breastfeeds, and you know, she is the primary nutrition source, and you're not if it's a bottle fed baby, then it's 50-50. You have to go down and you know, gather the bottles and do all that. So I mean, it's the lazy man's route.
No, it is going to be a breastfed baby, and I think we all know the reason. It's more nutritious for the child.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And let's work for Rob with his new baby monitor.
Oh, yeah, Rob's baby monitor that he was saying two flights down from where the baby will be sleeping. Rob has a video baby monitor.
It's cool.
And he's got hooked up right next to his TV.
Right.
And apparently it has some kind of a sensor that if the baby moves or makes noise,
it'll flash.
A red light goes on.
Yeah, there's a series of like 8 red LED lights. And depending on how loud the noise is, they'll like flash. So I can just keep that in the peripheral vision, and it listens for the crying. And I'm safely two flights
now. Will you have an audio monitor also?
I can turn up the audio on that if I want to.
Oh, you won't. I know you won't.
No, he won't.
Or muted.
He won't.
He'll have it turned down and he'll get totally captivated, but it's like Little House on the Prairie. Meanwhile, the baby will be upstairs going, wah, wah.
No, it's the best, it's the coolest present. I have to thank my friend Brad. It was the Christmas present for the child.
Brad's good, your good buddy Brad.
Yeah, it's most excellent.
So you'll be monitoring the baby via a light readout.
Well, no, it's also a TV screen. But
what I mean is, if you're watching your regular TV screen, you're going to have to count on, like, with your peripheral vision, seeing the red lights, like on a speed detector.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to Rob that the video monitors are fine, but the audio monitors are really what you can use when you're like watching TV, because once you really hear the baby, like the breathing, you can crank it up all the way.
But Mike,
you know what's great about the audio monitor also?
What?
You have family over and you just like put it in the different rooms and then you say, hey, we'll be right back, and you can hear their conversations.
Oh, cool.
What they're talking about.
Well, you know, it has both. It has, you know, video and audio.
That's
or
good.
Just video or just audio, so I can do anything.
But if he had to go with the just the audio route, that would mean he would have to lower the sound on his television.
And that's unacceptable, I understand.
That's true. We can't have that.
The din of the television. And Rob's worn headphones a little bit, so he's also stoned.
Or I could put there is like a headphone jack on the television monitor, so I could put the headphones on Carrie.
There you go.
And I could close caption TV. She could get a lot of pleasure out of it.
Sure, but you wouldn't want to watch your TV with closed caption.
You know, like, what do you like watching? The Price is Right?
Sure, I like the Game Show channel. I watched a little bit of the History Channel last night, and I always fall back on Nick at Night. And then there's, you know, of course, Mr. Turner's station.
All right. Well, listen, how big is your wife? The last time I saw her, she did not look. I saw her about a month ago. She didn't look like she was ready to bust out with the baby.
This has been a tremendous last few days. She goes to the doctor, I guess, every 7 to 10 days for the final stretch.
Right.
In the last week, she gained 7 pounds.
Good. That's
she
a good thing.
Getting huge, and the baby's in position. Everything is perfect.
Let me say this correctly. Has the fit Terry come to visit your wife yet?
Oh, yes. And, you know, already there's been pretty regular visits all along.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a bonanza. It's a
and if I remember your lovely wife, you know, it's not as though she really needed that.
No, it's always a welcome visit, especially for the holiday.
I would assume it's even a greater treat.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. No, things are good. And
have you tasted any milk?
No.
Look, well, I mean, I know that when I'm speaking from personal experience, that when Frida was pregnant with Bart, when the fit Terry came to visit us, at one point during a hot moment,
you had separate.
Yes,
well,
I did.
Lucky
that was, you know, that's. I think that.
I think it's normal.
It happens. I mean, it definitely happens. What was it? Was it Seinfeld? Some sitcom where he went to drink milk or put milk on his cereal and it was breast
What's
milk.
That,
was it
Beaver?
Seinfeld? I think it was Leave It to Beaver. All right. Is she getting a breast pump?
I believe she's registered for one. I haven't seen one around.
Registered? How do you register for a breast pump?
Oh, do you register for everything? God knows. I don't know. My job was done like 9 months ago. I haven't seen hide nor hair of what's going on. I mean, there's planning being done. Presents have come. They've gone. They've been exchanged. There's been scams to make money.
Well, you'll be right in the middle of all that.
I'm sure that
the breast pump is, I found it a fascinating process to watch.
It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
It's a turn on. You might want to watch it in the nude.
Really?
I mean with you in the nude while your wife does it.
What, try to get a new one.
It's like an Electrolux?
We'll get a used one.
Well, we had one, actually, that was given to us at the hospital that, you know, any of the parts that touch the breast are not used.
Sure.
They're all the, because you replace those. Those are all, like, attachments.
Pawn it
but
off
the actual machine, we were waiting to get one, and we were using one from the hospital, I think with our first kid, where, you know, the thing goes, rear, rear. It was like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory.
Does it ever smell like sour milk?
No,
or
no,
or?
Not at all. Well, no, but you got to clean it pretty regularly.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, we'll hold out for a new one, then.
Right, you got to lick it clean.
That's right.
It's like when you like to lick the bowl when your mom was making a cake or something in your kitchen.
You'll be needing a breast spatula to make sure you get every drop out of it.
Well, I think you're going to be a good dad, Rob.
I hope so.
I think you'll enjoy yourself.
I hope so.
I think it's going to be a wonderful experience watching Rob become a dad.
I think it's going to be unraveled.
I think it's going to be fascinating.
I think he does not have a freaking clue what it involves.
He does not. I've spoken to him twice about it even today, and I thought that he was feigning nonchalance, but no, he is completely clueless.
He doesn't know.
I've been trying to be very positive, but based on these answers, I'm not involved in all that.
Well, no, I'm not.
And then he's going to wake up when the baby's born, and he's going to be smack dab in the eye of the hurricane.
No, I know everything will be back to me being in the middle of everything when the child is here, but as far as the getting ready, Carrie's taking care of all of that.
That's great.
I mean, seriously, my involvement in the getting ready for the child thing is we went to, like, Babies R Us or wherever it is and shot the little, I was the guy with the gun. The shooting.
You know, what's amazing to me is a man that has such a mind for detail. It's like we went to that thing, that store thing.
Oh, maybe there's a little bit of blockage going on,
I think you're blocking.
Yeah, but no, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I think it'll be fine.
I see what you're saying. When he went to that Toys for Big Boys, which had, like,
Babies R Us,
that had, like, electronic gizmos.
Right.
I'm sure he retained everything about every item that he saw. And if you're asking him now about stuff for his baby, he's like, I don't know, we got the plastic thing at the Babies R Us.
Right, exactly. I'll remember the stuff as it becomes necessary. It's a need-to-know basis.
I bet you know more than you're letting.
You think?
Yeah.
You might be surprised.
Really? I don't think so.
Really? Are you this clueless about your wife's pregnancy?
Well, I mean, not clueless about it. I know what week she's in and all that. And,
that's good.
I've felt the baby, and I've seen the jump.
You felt the baby? You felt the baby kick?
Yeah, all the time.
For you,
Rob.
Way to get involved.
And I know, thank you. I know the baby's schedule. I know when it's like awake and when it's asleep and all that stuff. So, I mean.
That's good. Now, during this entire pregnancy, how much time has Carrie spent at your home? Like, in country.
Like, at our house, not out of town.
I know she likes to travel.
The pregnancy is what, like 40 weeks, roughly, right?
Yes.
God, I don't know. Like, half and half, something like that?
Half and half,
She did travel last week, but I was with her, so does that count?
No, if you're with her, it's okay. For the holiday. You went away for the holiday.
Yeah, I guess that was what it was.
You're a funny boy. I can't wait till that baby's born.
You think it's going to change his life?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Will I be more full of love?
No. The difference is, here's the thing. Rob, while he's a great guy, and I'm truly fond of him.
Yes.
You know, in many ways, he's...
And I, you.
In many ways, he's responsible. But I think in the big picture, he's still like a 10-year-old. And I think that once he realizes that, you know, that baby head... And instantly, that's what we're calling it officially, baby head. Because it's just going to be a gigantic head.
Oh, right. It might not.
It's going to be like a Mr. Potato Head.
Just hold out some hope.
Just a giant head.
You're dipping from two gene pools. It might favor the mom. Might be all right.
No. That baby's got to be all head just like you.
I had the most horrifying thing said to me.
Your genetic code will storm in there like the cavalry.
Yeah, swinging a mallet. No,
like a Kemper insurance commercial.
Deborah Dean asked me, she said, do you know if it's a boy or a girl? And I said, no. And she says, you know what I bet? I bet it's going to be a girl that looks just like you. And it's like, thanks a lot.
That's scary.
Isn't that horrifying?
That's a lucky lady.
So I'm going to buy stock in, like, the shoe stores that stock all the big lady shoes.
Well, it's going to be an interesting experience for you.
I think it'll be exciting.
It will be exciting.
It'll be fun.
Fantastic.
Changes your life. I tell everybody, you know, a lot of people will say that it changes your life forever. And Don got this, I'm sure, when Bart was being born. You know, you get the thing, oh, your life's going to change forever. It's turned upside down. But it really is... I think you and I will agree that it's the coolest thing in the world. But at the outset, it is one of the most difficult.
It's got to be overwhelming. And you get basically two reads from people. And I got the same thing when we were getting married. Two people that will focus on the horror of it and people that will focus on the joy of it. And we're focused on the positive for now, but I'm sure this will change.
I just tell you this, and I think that we're alike in this regard. I think for the first year or two of the baby, that your life will be upside down. But then after that, you'll be able to go back and have more of the self-centered life.
Good.
Amen.
That you've become accustomed to.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope
you
so.
Know, the world revolving around you and your schedule of the television shows you like to watch.
I was a 15 handicap when my kid was born. My first daughter was born, and I'm now an 8 handicap, so it hasn't affected my golf game
at
all.
It's really, you said it is the best thing to ever happen to you.
Yeah,
your golf game down 7 strokes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, Don's right. First year, a little dicey.
Yeah.
A little tough, you know, and then the second year, a little difficult, but then you get into that third year.
The third year is very close to being single again.
Really?
except for the fact that you're married and that you have a child.
Right.
Your lifestyle is very much like you're single again because you've been trapped in this world with the mom and the baby.
What's wonderful is that once they get to be about 2.5 years old, they can do all the chores.
Can they really?
Yeah, at least they do in my house.
Well, that's good. Yeah, are they able to differentiate between the brands of beer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring daddy a domestic beer.
Taking the trash barrels down to the street, it's a little difficult because they're much taller than the children are, but but you can train them to do that.
You got them on wheels, though.
And if
really
you tilt it at a proper angle, they do just fine.
Excellent.
Well, I can't wait to see the whole experience.
How much do you value your sleep, just out of curiosity? Are you a big sleeper when you're on the weekend? Like your average night of sleep?
I'm about 8 hours. I mean, you know, it's gotten so I wake up. I know
that'll change.
Over.
Yeah, 8 hours is gone.
That'll change. Even if she does all the breastfeeding,
8 hours is over.
You're still going to be awakened to have it announced to you that she has to get up to go to feed the baby.
8 hours in total may be a possibility.
Like in shifts?
8 continuous hours. Would I be exaggerating if I said never again?
Although, you know what? Listen, I got to say this. Because Bart was, and Fred and I were talking about this weekend, we think maybe the worst baby ever. We used to call him Damien because he didn't sleep through the night until he was maybe 2 years old.
Oh my God! I forgot that. That's right.
And we over the Thanksgiving holiday, two of my nephews had babies.
Right.
Within like 3 weeks of each other, and we got so pissed because first of all, the babies are beautiful. That's not why we're pissed. But I was holding one of the babies, and I said to the baby's mom, I said, "Oh boy, he sure is cute, but must be a real pain in the ass getting up all the time, huh?" She says, "He slept through the night.
Oh, man.
Every single night since the first night we brought him home from the hospital." And it was that moment.
There are
I wanted to take the baby and drop it on its head.
Oh, no, I really did.
Now, I didn't do it. Okay, I love the baby.
Good.
But, I mean, you know, I'm looking across the room at my kid who's, you know, at that point balancing a pool cue or something on his head. You know, over there acting like a dumb teenager.
Right.
And I'm saying, this is the reason that Frieda and I got no sleep for 2 years.
Exactly. And there are parents that have those stories, and I'm always amazed at that. You know, you got to go through kind of a tough period if your kid isn't sleeping through the night. You have to, especially if they do get a little older, there comes that time when all parents have to really just go through the, I call it hell week, you know, where you just have to kind of train the child.
That's
when
you turn the sound down on the video.
Yeah, a little bit.
Over the red light.
No, what you got to do, you shut the door.
It's horrible. Really, if I look back on the most horrible experience of two of my kids, both of them, was that period of time where you have to really say to yourself, these children will not sleep through the night unless you actually condition them to do that. And there's a school of thought says you never do that. There's a school of thought says you do that.
You eventually have to. Otherwise, your kids are going to be 15 years old and still waking up in the middle of the night.
That's the mistake my mom made with me.
But, you know, maybe you're going to be able to get off easy in this regard like I did. Because I have this gag reflex, and like I told you with the dog poop, I think seriously, and I thought it was a great dad when Bart was an infant, I changed maybe 2 diapers the entire time that he was a baby when he would go number 2 because...
You changed 2 diapers?
Because when he would go number 2, he'd have a nice big load, I would open it up, and I would feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. So you didn't have to do that duty.
And I'd say to Frieda, I
do that duty.
Yeah, I can't do it. I physically can't, I mean, anything else you want me to do, you want me to pick the kid up and walk around with him, you want me to pat him on the back, you want me to get him to burp, whenever he would take a crap, I would just bring him over to Frieda and say, change him. I can't do it. I maybe changed 2 diapers.
Wow.
In his whole life.
Wow. Oh,
excellent.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a lucky guy.
Way to go.
Cultivating that gag reflex.
Yeah. How will you be with that? Do you think you'll be all right with that?
Unfortunately, I'll probably be all right. Yeah.
I changed a lot of diapers. My wife changed the bulk of them, but I changed a lot of diapers. And the only time it was bad is when they're real little bitties. You know, when they're real little bitties, you know, it's kind of like what that dog did on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh. That's the consistency.
That's what I mean. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, that's the tough one. But then, you know, once they get to that age where things start to firm up a little bit, but it's a, you know, sometimes a pretty easy process.
I still couldn't do it.
You still, even when they were yeah, like Milk Duds and Tootsie Rolls?
Couldn't do it.
Really?
Well, this Bart stunk.
You never had the experience with a boy. I've always, you know, I have two daughters, so I don't know this, but I've always been told with a boy, occasionally you get sprayed.
I got peed on because I would say, here's the deal. She would say he needs changing, and I'd say, hey, I'm going to throw up. And she would open up the back of his diaper and say, there's no poop, it's just number one.
Oh, and then you'd do it?
Then I would have to do it. And yeah, there was the occasion when he would, you know, pee on me.
Wow.
Happy moment, though, in a father's life.
Because
what it means is he's got to get some movement going in his...
Yep.
In his thinging,
right.
To be able to get the velocity to shoot you in the face.
Yeah, I, you know, never having a son, I never had to endure that. You know, but the consistency is everything when you're changing a diaper.
I suppose so. I hadn't thought about that, being on the receiving end of that.
He hadn't thought about it.
Right.
I know.
But then again,
you're the worst father in the world.
Well, I can tell the way he's been talking about that. You know, when he's talking about like the last football game before the pregnancy and the Christmas party and things like that. And you know, he sounded like it's going to be all of a sudden he's going to set a timer and she's going to deliver the baby.
He's got a plan for his wife for the Christmas party.
Explain this. You actually have the whole thing laid out,
hopefully,
right?
Provided it's okay with her.
What is the due date? The medical due date?
What did he say before the show today? What did he say? Is she going to be before she... Decaffing?
Yeah, she'll be decaffing. She'll be dropping the child.
Decaffing.
He's due on the 15th.
Decaffing.
The party's on the 8th, right?
Right.
So that's
right.
A full week, so I think we'll be safe. We'll bring her to the party. She'll have a meal bad.
Right.
Say hi to everyone. Marvel at her marvelous stomach.
Right.
And then send her off to the room. And then I'll remain to, you know, glad hand and spread the Christmas cheer.
No. What you said was you bring her over, you walk her around the room one time.
There you go. And then send her across the street to the hotel.
And then he said maybe find somebody to walk her across the street to the hotel.
Oh, it was lighthearted, Bill. You must admit that.
Of course.
You must admit that. She'll be fine. She likes the Christmas party. And she'll want to stay for a little while, but certainly not for the whole time.
I think we're going to witness the metamorphosis. That's exactly what's good. You know, I didn't know until this very moment. He doesn't have a clue as to what's going to happen.
No.
And he will change before our very eyes.
That will
be interesting. He will always retain his 10-year-old boyish charm. But he will, you know, it does, I think you will agree, it does turn you into an adult. You are forced to become more of an adult.
Well, I'm up for the challenge. I hope to remain immature. We shall see.
No, you can always remain immature.
Thank you. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's
all I expect.
Look at us. I mean, we've been in that high school holding pattern.
Oh, there's a chance.
Well, we wish you good luck, Rob.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
And Leslie, I know we've asked you this, I forgot. Do we know if Baby Head's a boy or a girl?
We don't.
You don't?
I wanted to know, but I was informed we don't want to know.
We got a little pool. We got to get a little pool going on that one.
Who told you you don't want to know?
Who do you think?
The doctor?
No, Lady Spiewak, Mrs. Spiewak.
Oh, so your wife knows?
No one knows.
You had a theory, right, that you might have seen something during one of the sonograms?
No, we didn't see anything. The doctor said he probably could have. We only had, it's been such a good pregnancy, I mean, without incident, that there's only been one sonogram.
See, thank goodness. See, I thought what you were saying when you said, they said you don't want to know. It's like the doctor's looking at the sonogram, you say, what is it, Mr. and Mrs. Spiewak? You don't want to know.
Yeah, right. Like, we're not sure yet.
You got, you know, five arms coming out one side. And
I wish you the very best, and I wish for your wife that she does not go through what my wife went through with our first child, which was, if you remember correctly, 33 hours of labor.
Wow.
33 hours of labor. You know, my wife's 4'10 and a half, till the doctor said, not happening that way. You know, and it was the C-section. That's what it was.
But listen, I want to tell you something. That's your last grand hurrah when your wife is having the baby,
because
that's when you have really... nothing to do.
Right.
And that's why Frida got pissed at me. She was not in labor as long as your wife, but she was in labor something like 18 or 19 hours.
Mm-hmm. Still a long
labor. And by the time it was like an hour 12 and nothing was happening, I turned a football game on. I watched football. It was the USFL was on TV. And
not even the NFL?
No, it was March.
Oh, I guess.
Were you watching the New Jersey Generals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got mad at me. She said, why are you watching a football game? I said, what else is there for me to do?
18 hours of labor, you get a little squirrely.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You just sit on your ass and wait for something to happen.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
My wife got mad at me because I was doing regular reports for the show. At one point, it was like the second day, you know, when I came back. You know, I don't think she ever got mad at me. She was so out of it, you know.
Yeah.
33 hours of labor. I think by the 10th hour, you know, they go into the la-la.
Do you remember the moment you called to say that your first child was born, right?
Right in the middle of strip trivia.
Right as we were getting done with strip trivia.
Right, and I remember hearing, like, the throng of people cheer.
Right.
Did you
special moment.
Did Laura have an epidural?
Yes.
Did that work for her?
The guys that gave her the epidural were these two, I called them Hans and Franz. There were these two guys with very thick accents going, okay, but here we go. And they came in and they did that. And but they wait. I don't know why they waited, but they waited for some reason.
They, I've heard that from so many people.
The first pregnancy, I don't know whether it's the law, whether they think they have to, but they waited and waited when they finally said, okay, you know, let's go in and do the C-section. That's it.
And I've also heard that they're big on, like, turning back the epidural as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, like, you know, they want you to be able to not...
Now, all I know is when she got the epidural, she was, I mean, it was a godsend. It was, cool. I mean, she was totally pain-free, and it worked out.
Yeah, whenever she gets, try to siphon a little off for yourself.
And we're both going to have an epidural.
Just have her put a little bit in a glass for daddy.
You know, they were sitting there, you know, it's that big, long thing. I don't want to scare your wife or anything, but it's that long needle they put right in.
We went through it in the class.
Yeah, they tell you about it in the class. You know, when they were getting ready to do it, you cup your hands and try to say, can I have a couple of drops, please? And then I licked my hand. And my tongue was numb, but I never got anything
else. Low-ball glass. Squirt me two fingers here, Doc.
Absolutely.
I think you'll also, find those classes are a gigantic waste of time.
No, I never felt more informed.
Yeah, those classes are crap. Because
classes are a good chance to see videos of fat women with matted hair having their baby.
40 things other than children.
Absolutely. I mean,
because when your wife is having a baby, it's your wife who's having the baby. You can be there
to
hold her hand and to say, be strong, push, and do all that other stuff. But really, those classes are a waste of time. And I'll tell you how I know, because Bart was 10 weeks premature. So we had the chance to go to exactly... one Lamaze class before he was born. And I was in there, and none of the doctors knew that I hadn't been to the classes because I was just doing the stuff that I had seen on TV.
Right.
You know, when a
breathe.
Guy...
breathe. Keep cleansing breath.
Every sitcom's had that scene.
Right.
You know?
Tonight on a very special Will and Grace.
Absolutely.
Your entire birth was basically stuff you learned by watching Bill Cosby himself.
There you go.
Correct.
Well,
let us know what happens.
I sure will. If I think, I'll tell you within a few days after the birth.
And I hope everything goes. Please don't get angry at her if you know things don't go according to your timetable.
No more angry than I normally am.
Gotcha.
I have a feeling on the anger.
All right, well, there's your update on maybe Adolf Spiewak.
Very good.
Good luck, Rob.
We'll let you know. Maybe she'll time it out that she'll have the baby right before we take off for our Christmas vacation.
That'd be terrific,
wouldn't it? That would be nice. See if you can arrange that, Rob.
I'll make her do jumping jacks.
Okay, there are the touchstones right there.
Well, they're there again.
Hello, touchstones.
Hello.
A prize package selected especially for you.
Ye.
877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building.
If only we could fly! Them biscuits style! Donato!
Come and enjoy their world-famous love act, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, time for a call 100. All right. And here in the radio. Go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Caller 100?
Right, yeah. Well, we're doing great, thanks. What's your name?
My name is Alan. How are you today?
Alan, great. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
Alan, you've won the 26-week rental card. Good for a free movie every week for 6 months at Blockbuster Vidéo. We recommend you start with X-Men, now available at Blockbuster Vidéo, bringing entertainment home.
Very good. I will start with the X-Men.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's just the commercial. Rent whatever you want.
That's the commercial part. Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Hold on a moment, please. Now, listen, now that the Caller 100 is done, let's open the lines back up to get more freaks. We got off topic talking about my dog poop and talking about Robbie's baby. We want to get as many freaks as possible.
Freaks.
For Friday's big freak show.
Damn.
Also want to give you the update. Well, first off, you know, I know I mentioned it yesterday. I just got to say it again today. This whole David Blaine thing is just a crock of crap.
I was reading an article in the Daily News today about that, and they were kind of taking it hook, line, and sinker, you know, talking about his toes being numb and how it's not warm air being blown in there.
No, it's nothing, and it just sickens me that people are buying into this. And there are two gigantic things happening in New York tonight that are both just a colossal waste of time, in my humble opinion.
Oh, you're not going to be a Grinch about one of them, are you?
Thank God we're not in Manhattan doing the show today from NEW, because I would just be pissed off. First off, all the publicity that this magician's getting.
Right.
And second,
what is,
yeah,
here you go.
The lighting of the Rockefeller Center tree.
The 40-foot Norway spruce?
Listen, please, I like Christmas. It's my favorite holiday.
Happy holidays!
I'm going to tell you something. Al Roker has nothing to do with my enjoying Christmas.
Oh. You don't like old Al down there with Tara Lipinski and
no.
Mark Thank Anthony you and you know Santa and all the...
And 98 degrees.
Yeah.
No, come on. All they do is get the cheap teeny bopper acts that are dying to get any kind of publicity to sell their records before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why you got Mark Anthony. That's why you got 98 degrees.
Right.
You got this... Tara Lipinski, because she's out on some stupid skating tour.
Yeah, well, and they, you know, they're right there is the rink, so they do. They always have to have a skater there.
I know, it's just, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time, and I'm sure anybody listening to us in New York knows that tonight...
It'll gridlock the city.
Yeah, right? Yeah. If you plan on doing anything, forget just in Manhattan, if you begin doing any, forget doing anything tonight in New York, and they insist on televising this.
You know, if we were in New York, you know, Rob and I would be down there at the tree
light. I know, you'd be down there with your I Love New York bags and your Today Show hats. You know, I always don't like when he leaves. When we get done doing the show from NEW,
I don't think we've done a show up there where I'm coming back on the train where I don't have one of those I Love New York bags. They go to that same cheesy gift shop to get my kids little stuffed animals every time.
You might as well just put a sign around your neck that says,
mug me.
Rob me, rape me, mug me, and throw my body off the train.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I suppose I get caught up with Christmas time. Christmas time in the city, Don.
I like Christmas time fine, but it's jive.
I agree with you about the David Blaine thing, and I agree with some of the acts that we don't need them. You know, right. I wish they'd certainly bring Andy Williams back.
Yes, please.
A long-standing...
Oh, please.
I was kidding. A long-standing holiday tradition returns today. You know, this is not a long-standing tradition, and that they've lit this tree for 68 years in a row. The long-standing tradition is the fact that NBC tries to hoard. Yeah, and
well, I think ever since the days of Bing Crosby bringing his family on TV, we all know that Christmas specials are a tad jive.
But I mean,
that's
the worst.
That's what makes them Christmas specials.
But no, this is the worst.
This is the worst one?
This is really the worst. This is worse than a Kenny Rogers Christmas.
It's not worse than a Kathy Lee Christmas.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, you are really indicting this. Really?
Yes, it is. If I would rather watch Cunny Lee Gifford sing Christmas songs than watch Christmas in Rockefeller Center, which is nothing but a commercial for the Today Show,
right,
and a commercial for NBC, and frankly,
is Matt Lauer going to be there?
No. It's just big fat Al Roker.
He's the NBC workhorse, isn't he?
Al Roker and Allison Janney.
Oh, from West Wing.
Oh, is that who that
is? Allison Janney plays the press secretary on the West Wing.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's very good.
Well, good, Mike. You and all the other mooks can enjoy that tonight. I go, the good people of New York who are actually hearing this show tonight as this is happening, I want you to know I'm with you.
You don't like Allison Janney?
I don't watch the West Wing.
Oh, you don't watch the West Wing.
That if I was there, I would have the New York's finest down there in riot gear. and I would make sure that... The one thing I would make sure of...
Hey, our good friend Natalie Cole will be there, too, Don.
Well, and who knows...
I mean, our good friend, not good friend.
Yeah, depending on how coked up she is.
Oh, God.
You know, if she's off the blow tonight, maybe she'd be in a good mood.
I hear she's better.
Good.
Yeah, well, I heard that about Robert Downey Jr.,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And incidentally, hey, nice mug shot. And,
yeah,
you know, and that poor effort, he had to go back to work.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Oh, hold on. I'm getting real worked up. Here you go.
Sponsorable.
Oh, thank you, because that was an angry one.
I know. I didn't want to take that one away from you.
Thank you. There was a lot of force behind that one.
You forced that one out.
www.egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet.
Is that really his mugshot right there, this one right here?
Yeah, the latest one.
Yeah, it looks like he's playing a psycho in the movies.
Right. Look at the giant bags under his eyes. You know, this poor guy, I feel nothing but true pity for Robert Downey Jr., that this poor guy, he's in a hotel room by himself, on Thanksgiving.
He mustn't have, you know, really, I think in a situation like that, he mustn't have much of a support network. And I do feel sorry for him also, because if you read his history and read how he got into this and how, you know, this kid has been exposed to this since he preteen years, you know.
So somebody rats this guy out and he gets busted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to go back to work on Ally McBeal 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
takes your mind off things.
No, Buzz. I mean, absolutely. Somebody should just pull Robert Downey Jr. aside and say, listen, you know, buddy, you know, this is part of the problem. The fact that you're surrounded by all of these kiss-ass hypocrites in Hollywood.
He says he's broke, too.
Yeah,
That's why he's had to go back to work. Right?
I don't know. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. But if you really want to make it a good show tonight, NBC, why not get Robert Downey Jr. out there? Let him turn on the street. I'd watch that. Now, that I'd watch. I'm Al Roker, and now to throw the switch, here is our guest, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, what they would do is they'd say that, you know, here's our guest, Robert Downey Jr. Robert, where are you?
And then they go, Natalie? Where's Natalie?
Natalie and Robert have left the building.
Natalie be wearing the Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah.
The hotel room at the Plaza.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I feel the same way about the lighting of the national Christmas tree, which happens here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You know, I get into Christmas.
Sure.
But it's like that moment when all the lights go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of a sudden like it goes, oh, wow, it's Christmas now.
Right.
Please, I just don't buy into it.
When do you get the Christmas spirit?
Yeah. When we're done working.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm sad to say that's the truth.
That's when it's official.
Right.
That's when it's really official.
And until then,
happy holidays.
And frankly, maybe it's because I see all of these other people being so happy.
I do get it on this show when you start playing like the different Christmas stuff.
That's but we don't do that until right before we go.
I know. You know, I've always labored and lobbied for years and years to start it right after Halloween.
It pisses me off when on Thanksgiving, you hear the stations that come on and go, Light 97's Christmas gift to you early. 24 hours of nonstop Christmas music on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Too
early. Please, I don't want that.
Ho, ho, ho.
Give me all my other stuff. So great. Al Roker tonight. Mark Anthony and Natalie Cole. Well, that's beautiful. They make a bunch of mooks happy. But think about all the hard-working people in New York who are just trying to drive home. Right?
Trying to get home to their families.
Who can't get around.
You know what I say to them? Stay and enjoy it. Stay and just to be washed in it, in the spirit of the season. It'll be nice and chilly in New York tonight.
It's a made-for-TV event, Mike.
Yeah.
Sucks on ice. Robert Downey's White Christmas.
Oh, God.
All right, we got a guy about the magician. Hello.
Hey, Mike,
hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Love your show. Love you long time.
Thank you.
I agree with you 100% on the Christmas tree. That's the boringest crap there ever was. But David Blaine, that's an entertaining guy. His first two specials, highly entertaining.
Well, listen, I'm talking strictly about him, this whole facade of him being buried in ice or being surrounded by ice.
And I'm not a fan.
Frozen alive.
I am not a fan of the guy's monotone personality. I don't like, you know, I wish there was a happy medium. I don't like Siegfried and Roy with the hands and David Copperfield and all that crap either. I'd like to see a guy, though, with just a little bit of a personality. I mean, I understand, but he gives you those dead eyes with the, here's my card trick, here's how I elevate myself, you see, and then you have the people literally, like, falling down in the street reacting to
it. That's why we always like Penn Teller so much.
Yeah, they're the perfect happy medium.
Yeah, or Penn Jillette, whatever they got called.
Penn Jillette, Penn and Teller.
Of course, Penn Teller.
Did you hear Penn and Teller commenting on that trick? They're pissed about this guy, David Blaine.
You know, I saw Teller when we were up in New York in our hotel lobby. Walking through our hotel lobby, I said, hey, Teller, how you doing? And he said, sorry.
I went to see him one time when they actually did speak.
You raved about that show. They're going to be here in Washington soon.
The little guy did actually speak on stage.
Right? Yeah, and he was funny when he came on the show. Penn Jillette was funny
guy. Yeah, and Penn and Teller are rightly pissed about this, that it's not a trick.
Right.
It's not a trick. I'm telling you, it's a DJ stunt that's been done for years.
You know when you read in the article about it that there's a danger that the glacier ice might crack, injuring the illusionist.
Please.
You know, come on.
Not a chance. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
There's been a chance that tree's going to fall down on Al Roker tonight. Now that I'd pay to see.
That would give you a great joy, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would.
Roker, you know, I thought you liked Al Roker.
I like him fine. He's such a whore.
You know what I mean?
But that's the job. You know that he took over from Willard.
I know.
That is the job. That's right. The gig. You got to sell the Smucker's jam.
I know. He's just the biggest whore. You know what? It's not just him. They're all whores at NBC. I mean, you ever try to watch that ridiculous parade on Thanksgiving Day?
I watched the last, like, I missed it. We missed most of it. Why? Because of the water problem we had at the house. Yeah. I saw the last, like, 10 minutes of it when they were wrapping it up, and I saw the true joy on their faces when they were done with this thing, you know, like they wanted to get the hell out of there.
Right. I almost called you on Thanksgiving because the real show was Jim Nance and Christine Baranski with the CBS parade. Did you see that?
I caught some of it. And, you know, CBS doesn't have the rights to the Macy's parade in New York.
So what does CBS do?
A parade in Nashville.
Yeah, the All-American parade.
Oh, my God, Nancy. That's bad.
Oh, I want you to see this beautiful float covered with carnations. What do you think, Christine?
God, Nashville.
It was horrifying.
It was awful.
Like waiting for his head to explode. That was the whole day.
If you're going to do a parade, at least do the Macy's parade.
It was awful. Hold on, my friend Shotgun Mark Rivers is on the phone.
Oh, good.
I think, we had this time set up to talk to him. Hey, Ben Gotcha.
Hey, Ben Gotcha.
Ben Gotcha. All right, now listen, you guys don't know this guy.
We'll give him a round of applause.
Give him a round of applause.
You're excited about having him on the show.
This guy, I don't know how long ago, over 20 years ago, is when I first started working in radio with Shotgun Mark Rivers, and I worked at more than a couple stations with him.
Right.
And was always a real decent guy, and we fought the good fight together for a long time with the a-hole PDs and, you know, banging groupies and the W-Rock F-Truck and going through bankruptcy together. And all kinds of stuff. So what are you doing now, Shotgun?
I'm doing some internet marketing consulting, and what I do is help people get up on the web and learn how to earn income on purpose.
Okay, here is this guy's...
So he's one of the wise disc jockeys that has gotten out of the business.
This was Shotgun Mark's claim to fame. Always, when I knew him, he always had a scam going. And I don't mean like a scam like he wanted to cheat people out of money.
No.
He always came up with the next great idea. And I'll give you
a money-making scheme.
Yeah. Okay. It was like 1975. We're working at WROK in Rockford, Illinois.
Right.
He did 6 to 10 at night. I did 10 to 2. A lot of times, he'd wait until the end of my show, then we'd go out, we'd eat.
That's like Roger and me country, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So one night he comes in and he says, "Hey, listen, I got it. I got the idea. A board game about radio. It's kind of like Monopoly. And what you do is you move the pieces around the board, and you buy different radio stations in different cities, and you build up big conglomerates." And he paid some guy, I mean, we had no money. He paid a guy like $1,000 to have a prototype made of this game.
Oh, boy.
And he went out to the convention to try to sell it.
Yeah.
And, like, sold two of them. How many of those games did you sell?
We actually had three prototypes made up and ended up selling one of them.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
You know, what's really funny is that there was a radio station that I went to work for in St. Louis, after Frederick, Maryland, but that's another story. And
WFMD in Frederick?
No, it was WZYQ.
Okay, Z104, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
YQ.
We turned it from the WMHI Braddock Heights radio station that it was for like 9, 10, 12 years. And we went in there and started doing like get into our pants weekends and booby trap weekends, giving away halter tops.
Radio.
Anyway, one of the radio stations got a prototype and said, "Oh, some guy designed that," and he gave it to another guy. So I literally had to get a lawyer and get the prototype back. So,
but this was the story of this guy's life, that he was always, the whole time I knew him, one step away from the next great invention.
Well, that's good.
In radio. And when it came to being a disc jockey, I loved him because he would open up the microphone and sing with the records. And, you know, the program directors hated it when we were on together because we would constantly talk to each other during our show.
Well, they're the enemy. That's a good thing.
So now listen, let me ask you about some of the names from our past.
Okay.
Okay. When we worked together, we worked at quite a few stations. Who was the worst PD that when we worked together, you and I ever worked for?
Oh, boy. That's a toss-up.
This is not a test. This is just your own personal opinion.
The worst PD?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to write down my answer and see if we can play the match game.
Okay, very good.
I'm going to give you the top three.
All of them evil. Very evil in those days.
No, I got two.
Worst PD.
That's my number one worst, Mike.
Oh, he worked for him?
Yeah, and that's my number two worst. Okay. I don't think you know him.
Okay, I don't know him, but I certainly know the other guy.
Okay, worst PD as in...
human being.
Don't you
have to categorize it that way, Don? You want to do it that way? Worst human being.
Yeah, not the worst of just being a jerk and hotlining us and making our lives hell, but really the guy who was just scum.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here.
Okay, I'll tell you my answer.
Okay.
Steve Kingston. He's the worst. And then what about Carl Hamilton? See, David, right. Okay, here's another one for you. I can't believe you don't hate these guys like I do. Do you remember the name of the disc jockey who was so bored doing his shift that he would fill out crossword puzzles and compulsively clean all of the glass substances?
Oh, no, wait a second. You're stealing my thunder here.
No. Come on. Do you remember who it is?
I wanted to play Don Geronimo Radio Trivia.
All right, go ahead. I know that one, though. It's Citizen Dan.
I was going to say, name this voice.
Oh, you have? All right, go ahead. Play his voice.
Texaco Service. Two locations in Loves Park, 7800 and 4913 North 2nd.
All right, that's Captain. That's Citizen Dan.
That's Citizen Dan.
There's this guy.
He's so bored. That is hysterical.
He did the afternoon show, and it used to piss Shotgun and I off because we did the nighttime show.
Right.
And we both wanted to move up. He wanted to do afternoons. I wanted to do 6 to 10.
Right.
We'd go into the radio station, and while this guy was on the air, he'd be filling out crossword puzzles, and then he'd be so bored, like they had a big plexiglass in front of us.
No, it was double-pane glass for the soundproofing of the studio.
Yeah, he would get out Windex, and he would be over at the window going, pss, 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 and wiping down the windows.
Do you remember the day that we walked in there and he had the glass out of the wall?
Yeah, right. While he was on the air.
A little obsessive compulsive.
And it's just because the guy was bored.
Right.
The guy was bored and his show sucked. And
it's Citizen what?
Citizen Dan.
Citizen Dan.
I
love DJ names.
And you know what else pisses off is the fact that he got two name shouts.
Right.
He got not only his regular name shout, but he had a name shout as Citizen Dan.
Citizen Dan.
You know, it's like, boy, the guy who does nothing, the guy who just reads the cards and cleans glass while he's on the air, he gets two name shouts.
Hey, I have to ask Shotgun, and can I call you Shotgun?
That's fine, yeah.
I have to, do you have any Don Geronimo stories that you would like to share with us?
Oh, man. Do we have all day?
Well, give us your best one.
I don't think I did anything real bad with him.
No. Well, there was the multimedia show that we did at the high school.
All right, I don't even remember.
You don't remember this?
That might be good. If you don't remember it, it might be a
excellent.
Good one.
Was that when we did a high school hop?
Well, no, these were the, in fact, I think Pepsi used to sponsor an actor who would come around, and he'd take us, and we would literally watch this multimedia show, and it would be sponsored by the radio station, and then we would walk out as the personalities.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I mean, if you're saying we did it, I believe you. I did all kinds of crap.
But what happened?
All right. After one of the programs, it was time for us to be announced. And I got announced, and then you got announced, and you didn't come out. And then you came out a few seconds later, and you grabbed the microphone and said, "Always time for a quickie."
At the high school.
Oh.
All right, that's a great story. Thank you.
That's a lovely story.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Shotgun. Bang, gotcha.
Principal called C. David Hamilton in Rockford, and I remember the meeting where we both got trashed by him.
Oh, that was Carl Hamilton. That's the PD.
Yeah, Carl Hamilton.
Hey, did you ever, I don't want to say anything that could get us sued now, but did you ever question his sexuality?
No, not really.
I found myself questioning his sexuality.
But haven't you questioned every program director's sexuality?
Yes.
I do now.
Yes.
You know, but back then it really wasn't that much of an issue.
Absolutely. So, Shotgun, let me ask you something. So you're in Wichita. Do you listen to us on KFH?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How shocked are you that, like, out of all the guys that we were hanging around with, I appear to be the only guy who made it? I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying
the guy is still in radio and successful in radio.
I mean, out of all the guys we hung out with at the time, most of them are either dead or selling shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least you're doing something that's media, you know, surrounded by media with the internet.
Exactly.
Rather impressive, eh?
Who's dead?
Who's dead, he's asking.
I know who's dead.
Citizen Dan dead?
No, the guy who got the Q-tip stuck in his ear.
Is that a head cleaner, a tape head cleaner?
Yeah, Bobby B. Soder.
No.
Yes, Bobby B. Soder had a heart attack.
I did not know that.
And he died 5 years ago. Somebody called me about it. Listen to this disc jockey. Another lazy disc jockey at the same station.
Right.
He did the overnight shift.
I got Bobby B.
You got a tape of him?
I got a piece of him.
All right, play it.
Hey! Oh, wrong one. Hold on. All right, hold on here. Let's see here. I got one of those instant replays.
So this stuff is only interesting to me. I'll keep this brief, but this is my history. I'll tell you about this guy, Bobby B., while he's finding the tape. Mm-hmm. Bobby B. Soder was another disc jockey. Very lazy. Very lazy. During his shift, as a matter of fact, a lot of times he would be banging a girl out in the W-Rock van, and he would say to me, "Seg my first three records.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm not going to be a..." He did the 2 to 6 a.m. shift. And he used to love cleaning his ears with these giant Q-tips that we used to clean the head.
That is so gross.
But one night, and of course this is before the advent of cell phones.
So obviously he'd go in real deep.
Yeah, before the advent of cell phones, I'm driving home one night at 2:30 in the morning, and I hear on the radio, 1440 WROK, "Hey, Don Geronimo, if you're still out there listening, come on back. Major emergency at the station. Come on back." So I get in my, I get in the other lane, I turn, I come back, I come through the door, I swear to God, the guy's got, there's only this much of the Q-tip that's showing.
So he's got like 4 inches inside his head.
He shoved this inside his head, and he said, "It won't come out, man. I can't get it out."
Oh, my God.
Can't get it out.
That meant, if he pulled, it was too painful to take it out.
He was afraid to pull it out.
Oh, my God.
So what he asked me to do was get a pair of pliers from the engineer's office and pull out the Q-tip out of his ear that had gone so far in he couldn't get it out.
Oh, my God.
I did it for him.
And did it come out? Was there any blood?
No, there was no blood.
Really? It was A-okay?
No blood at all.
Wow.
But he's dead.
I did not know that.
It was a heart attack, not the Q-tip.
No, I don't think so. God rest his soul.
Okay, I found the piece.
All right.
7 seconds long here.
All right, Bobby B. Soder.
WROK with more for you to score in 77. Grab your share of the ROK cash dash. All you have to do is get ROK and you're bumping to win.
There you go.
Smoker?
It's 15 seconds.
Smoker. Drinker.
Okay.
On-air drinker.
Sounds like it, yeah.
An on-air drinker.
One of those on-air drinkers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the bottle in the studio.
Okay, do you have tapes of you and me from then?
Yeah, I've got a couple of pieces of our clothes and a couple of breaks.
All right, let's hear those.
Remember the crossover?
Yes, we used to love... This is what... Okay, the program director hated this.
Right, God.
When one shift ended, you were just supposed to say, "This is Shotgun Mark, good night, Don's coming up next." We used to take it as an opportunity,
to chat.
To chat. And, of course, you're talking about this is now 25 years ago. This stuff today certainly is not cutting edge. But back then...
It was, it was cutting edge.
Yeah, right. And we would seriously get yelled at by the boss for doing these dumb crossovers.
Because the boss was it somebody who was on the air? Was it an on-the-air PD?
He did a two-hour shift.
Well, anytime they're on the air, they hate DJs.
All right, let me hear that.
This is about 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, remember the shotgun phone call?
Oh, yes.
Okay, there's a couple of you invading the shotgun phone call here.
This is me and him singing the song. We made our own jingles.
Great.
I just wanted to call you, Zach, and tell you you're just fantastic.
Oh, hey, warm! Oh, thank you. Are you okay?
Hey, Shotgun.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, I'm right in the next room, dummy.
Oh, you!
I've always wanted to do this.
Sounds like a turkey from Minneapolis.
I always wanted to call you from the next room and get through, and I did.
You got a Shotgun phone call?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do this, too.
Hey, I'm John Geronimo, and you may wipe your feet on him at 10 o'clock tonight. All right, okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Sean.
This is such bad radio.
I'm telling you that back in 1976,
John Livingston.
We were breaking all kinds of rules by stopping down to take telephone calls.
Right. Good Geronimo joke coming up here.
Okay.
All right.
You're a bird. What is that?
Wait a minute, kid. I have a joke. I'll break in.
All right.
Another world famous joke, kid. You want some real humor on this phone call?
I don't know.
What do you call a frog?
Yes.
That jumps from bed to bed.
I don't know. What do you call a frog that jumps? A prostitute.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
All right, take that off. Take that one off.
I'm telling you.
Hey, shotgun?
Yeah.
Take that one off.
That's embarrassing.
It's how many years ago?
Over 25.
25 years ago, we can cut you a little slack on prostitute.
Okay.
Do you have me being a DJ?
Oh, yeah. Hang on. You and me going out here, okay?
Okay, here we are.
I'll
just scream.
It is time to import a sample of the title. It's still undefined. It's a young converted communicator. Step up to the appropriate microphone and spins it forth. Joyous animosity and bruises these attention double game engines. Of course, the marvelous melody and defensive oratory and pleasing packages is prosperous and promising promiscuity. Do follow.
Same old stuff. The ROK denim machine.
Yeah, all right. Something else. Oh, brother.
Wow. Boy, we suck.
I mean, we suck. And for us, it was a great show to scream and yell and bang on the equipment. You know,
but you do remember the ratings that we had at that radio station.
Now, I do remember this is the only station I ever worked at. We got like a 99 share.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, cool. We had like 62.9 in teens and 18 to 49, like 80%. It's amazing.
Well, the PD should have treated you better.
He was a dick.
Well, listen, you know what? I'd love some of those. I have no tapes of myself from that time. So anything you got.
I have some stuff I can dub off and send to you.
I'd love to have.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Actually, I want to talk about Pittsburgh, too, but do you remember the imaginary prize we gave away at the end of the shotgun phone call?
Well, you know, you give me a headache with this.
I know.
let's just cut right to the end of this shotgun.
All right.
Just cut to the end, because I can't imagine anybody listening to this besides you and me, because you and me are the only guys who know what this was all about.
Jack Randall.
Okay, Jack Randall was the morning guy. Okay, Jack off Randall.
And we gave away a lesson in the imaginary school of Jack Randall Broadcasting School.
Because this guy was, the morning guy was a high-energy top 40 station.
Right.
And the morning guy was
like this.
Jack Randall.
Jack Randall, good morning, 608. Here's the latest from Captain Antoniel on WROK.
Now, is this in Pittsburgh?
No, this is in Rockford.
Still in Rockford.
And a friend of mine and a friend of yours, Jeannie, later in life, said to me one time that you were in Phoenix, I think, coming back or going to KFI in Los Angeles, and you heard Jack Randall's voice coming out of your TV set at 2 o'clock in the morning in a hotel room.
That's true.
And he was wearing cowboy hat?
He was doing an infomercial.
Oh, my God.
This guy, Jack Randall. Listen, you know what? This is getting way too inside shotgun. hold on a second. Send me all that crap.
I will.
Tell me something. When we worked together, how many girls would you estimate you banged off the telephone?
Well, I was trying to think about that the other day.
How many?
Oh, man.
And this was long before I knew Frida. I'll tell you something. There was no greater radio station to get laid at than WROK. Every night you could pick up the phone and you could get laid with a girl on a request.
I'd like to tell both of you guys that there's. I don't think there's anything retroactive about paternity suits.
No. How many you got?
Over 20.
Over 20?
Yeah.
You slut.
I probably had over 30.
You bigger slut.
Well, I was on later.
My goodness.
You know, you get to like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, when no one's around.
Right. You
and
get
the evil doings can take place.
You get the girls coming back home from the bars and stuff.
Yeah,
and
there you go. Right. In Rockford.
In Rockford, Illinois. And they call up. They go, hi, I love your show. You go, hey, yeah, really? Tell me something. Where you live, honey? I live off East 2nd Avenue. How about I come over? I'll get off at 2 a.m. I'll be there at 2:15.
Scurry on over there. Right. And it was Rockford, Illinois. Were any of them good looking?
No.
Oh, no, there were a few.
No, there were no good looking girls at all.
Oh, no, there were a few good looking ones.
No, there were no good looking ones at all.
You know, the older ones were good looking.
Okay, now, you know, now it's falling into place. Now remember, this is the thing with Shotgun. He would bang any chick. And I want to tell you something.
Like
he,
60, 70?
He had sex.
No, they weren't that old.
No. You had sex with a... You didn't care if a girl was a pig. You didn't care how old she was.
As far as older.
Yeah, and I'm talking about... He was at the time... How old were you working? Like 21, 22?
Yeah, something like
okay.
that.
You're talking about like a 50-year-old girl? Not a problem.
A 50-year-old girl.
I mean, I would come in...
That puts it in perspective right there when you're saying a 50-year-old girl.
I would come in the studio and I would hear him talking on the phone during a record.
Hello there.
And you know, he'd be setting it up.
Right.
And he'd hang on the phone and go, where are you going tonight? Oh, I'm going to Love's Park. Really? Yeah. She's about 50.
No.
Yes. So you remember what you want to remember, and I remember what I remember.
I do remember the time that we double dated and had to sneak out of the top floor of this house because Dad came home.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
Okay, guys. He did some bad stuff, sure.
Okay, now, yesterday you were talking about Bruce Kelly.
Yes.
You know, Bruce Kelly was in Pittsburgh after you left B94.
Right.
He did afternoons there. If it was the same Bruce Kelly.
I think so. I think it is.
Yeah. I think so, too.
All right, Shotgun, hold on a second, please. This trip down memory lane is really giving me a headache. Hold on a second. Elisa, get him to send me all that crap he's got. I'd love to have that for my archives.
That was a nice little trip down memory lane.
Yeah. I'm sorry if that was boring to everybody, but I'll tell you, he was one of my closest friends, and it's so nice, you know, a guy that was climbing the ladder.
And obviously, he looks back fondly, well, 20 women, I suppose.
I told you the other day, this is a guy who we would get together on the weekend, and we would just sit around and drink beer and talk about how someday we were going to work at WLS or at WABC, and that someday we were going to change radio. And that
back in the heyday.
You know, someday there would be no program director telling us what to do.
And you made it come true.
That's right. Now here.
Here we are.
We're doing it.
Now it's the general managers who tell us what to do.
Right. F them. Well, you survived. I liked hearing from him.
No, it was interesting.
I can't believe that he didn't hate Steve Kingston.
That's odd.
Who doesn't hate Steve Kingston?
He's been out of the business longer, you see. Your hatred is still as fresh as it was when you first started hating. Once you get out of the business, that's when your emotions take normal channels. But when you're in the business like we are, the hatred is always right below the surface.
Put it back on hold, Lisa. I just got to ask him.
You want him to hate like you.
Hold on. Hey, Shotgun?
Yeah.
Why don't you hate Steve Kingston?
Why don't I hate him?
Yeah.
I kind of do hate him because he didn't take me to New York.
No, but come on, really. Never mind, you don't hate him like I do.
Well, let me tell you something.
What?
I do have a Christmas present for you.
What?
Something that I don't know if you have or not that you probably ought to have for your collection.
What is it?
I got him doing a break.
Steve Kingston?
Yeah.
Send it to me, I promise. I'll play it on the air every day. He's the PD of K-Rock, the station we go up against in New York. Little weasel.
I got him doing Ron Lundy when he was in Rockville.
That's right. He pretended to be a disc jockey for a while. All right, hold on, Shotgun.
I'm sorry to hear you don't hate that guy like I do.
Well, you know, if he was back in the business, you could probably get him back to that level.
There's a real jag off.
He's a big guy. When we worked at the station in Pittsburgh, this is the most maddening thing. They hired all these disc jockeys. They hired, you know, my friend Banana Don.
Right.
They hired Bangotcha Shotgun Mark Rivers. They hired me. They had a great personality lineup. This guy, Steve Kingston. What an asswipe this guy is. He hired us. Listen to this. He hired us all to come work at the station in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then when we get there, You got the morning guy, the night guy, the afternoon guy. He sits us down and he says, okay, guys, here's the format. B94 in a row. And we said, what's that mean? He says, every time this station goes on the air, we play four songs in a row with no talk.
Oh, there it is.
Meaning that you come on the air at 4 o'clock, and when he said no talk, meaning you couldn't even talk on the intro of a record.
Right.
That you had, like, some kind of synthesizer sound bed.
When he became the great Satan.
Yeah, in the background, and all you could say was, here's another B94 in a row, starting with the Thompson Twins. And then you took your headphones off for 20 minutes.
Right.
Because you couldn't talk for 20 freaking minutes.
Because he just wanted to take that away from
you. Yeah, and like, he lived for the fact that I was constantly finding ways around it.
Right.
You know, constantly finding ways.
Talking over, like, intros to commercials and stuff like that.
And even in the middle of the four records where he would have... Now, it wouldn't be dead segues. He would actually have a tape where it would go...
B94.
Yes,
taking the disc jockey out of the equation.
Right. Well, what I would do was I would play on a record, and I would let the record run out, and I would pretend like the tape didn't work.
Right.
And then he would call me up, and I would talk up the record. He would call me up. Immediately, the hotline would ring. He'd go, you know, always whispering, too. He'd go, hey, ma'am, what are you doing? I said, oh, cart machine number 2 malfunctioned, man. The sweeper didn't work. All right, ma'am, don't forget.
And they all sucked in man code, too. Hey, man.
We don't talk over the music. Right. Gotcha. I mean, I was constantly trying to come up with ways.
You probably more than anybody else at that station.
To subvert his system.
Sure. And he hated you for it.
Yeah,
too.
He's a prick. And then so I quit.
Uh-huh.
I've had enough of this. I quit. I get a better job in Chicago at B96. Right. So what does Steve Kingston do? How does Steve Kingston reward me for working at this station for a year, when he's lied to me about the premise of the station?
Right.
Now, keep in mind, when he hired me, he said, we're going to build a true personality station.
Mm-hmm.
We got your friend Shotgun Mark, Banana Don. Then we all get there, we find out that it's a friggin' jukebox. You can't even talk over the record.
Yeah, and he does it to just kind of, you know, slam you. That's what he did it for.
And he's on a power trip.
Yeah.
So I quit. And I walked in and I said, listen, I'm under no contract here. I have an offer from a station in Chicago. Goodbye, I quit. But I will work out 2 weeks, and I will follow your stupid format verbatim for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
That was about noon. I came in at 5 o'clock to do my shift, and on the front porch of the radio station was a box with all the stuff from my desk.
Right.
And a note on the front door of the radio station saying, attention. Don Geronimo has been released by B94. He is not to be let in this building again. If you see him on the premises, immediately call the Pittsburgh City Police.
Oh, my God.
Because I quit.
Oh, God.
Because I quit. I mean, that's why I hate the guy.
Sure.
That's why I hate him.
He never did that to Shotgun.
No. And Kingston. I know you're listening right now on K-Rock in New York. Maybe someday I'll tell everybody how you stabbed Scott Shannon in the back and took his job at WPGC. You know, poor Shannon. When he was in his alcoholic days. I mean, I'm not lying. The guy was a PD. The guy was a mentor to me.
You roll with this. You're on a roll now. Listen, get it out. Purge it. Get it out of your system right now. This is therapy for you.
I worked at WPGC, and I never worked for a greater program director than Scott Shannon, because Scott Shannon was the opposite of Steve Kingston.
Right.
Scott Shannon said, go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it. You're never going to find out if it works if you don't do it.
Right.
Just as long as you're having fun, I don't care how many records you play, take as many phone calls as you like. Well, Scott Shannon had a bottle of booze and his desk at work, and he liked to party, and I liked to party.
Right.
And all the disc jockeys at the station liked to party. And what happened is this guy, Steve Kingston, came in, and he was hired as the assistant program director.
Right.
Uh-oh. But what he would do is, while Shannon was running the station, Kingston would go to the general manager, and he would say stuff like, hey, man, Shannon's not motivating the staff.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this is a loose station, man. Hey, man, Shannon's got a bottle of booze in his desk. Hey, man, they were all out getting high the other night. Hey, man, we're not rotating the records correctly. Meanwhile, to Shannon's face, Kingston would say to him, "You're the greatest."
Oh,
man, you're the greatest. So what happens is they come into Shannon and they say, "Listen, we're going to have to let you go. You're fired." They crushed him. The guy was, he was thinking about going to Ocean City to work. This is how out of his mind he was.
Right.
And the whole time, Steve Kingston is standing there consoling him and saying,
when he was kind of the reason.
And he's saying, "Hey, man, I can't believe they did this to you, man. I mean, I'm taking the job because, you know, I care about the station, but I can't believe they would do this to you, man."
Oh, my God.
When the whole reason that Scott Shannon got fired from PGC was the fact that Steve Kingston torpedoed him.
Yeah, so you know where some of these bodies are buried.
Yeah, I sure do.
Radio.
Uh-huh. Radio.
What would life be without it?
They're all bastards.
Yeah.
And that's what's so sweet about us being on in New York now.
Sure.
We're on against this guy, Steve Kingston. He programs K-Rock, and outside of Morning Drive, they cannot get a ratings point to save him on K-Rock. Mm-hmm. They can't. It's killing him! Steve? And Steve, maybe someday I'll talk about how you told your girlfriend that my wife was in love with you.
Well, I think you just did. It's just like the other one. You started the other one the same. Maybe I'll tell someday about how you backstabbed Shannon. Then you told the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're in Pittsburgh. Okay, now keep in mind that Frida, I make no excuses for Frida. She had no taste in men before she met me.
Right.
She dated quite a few fellas. One of the fellas she dated was this guy, Steve Kingston.
Okay.
Okay. So, he hires me at the station in Pittsburgh. I go up there and I take the job. Frida's coming up there with me. We've just been married. Things are great. One day, this guy, Steve Kingston's girlfriend, who I think is his wife now, Patty Jefferson, who incidentally was married to Banana Don at the time. So, like, Steve Kingston married the morning guy's wife.
Oh, it happens.
Okay, right. I mean, I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah, Banana got a little revenge on that one, though.
Yeah.
We met his wife.
Yeah, he married, like,
Miss USA or some Miss America.
Or Miss Hawaiian Tribe.
It was bigger than that. It was like a Miss America.
Maybe a Miss America.
Wow. I think he married a Miss America.
So anyway, one of this girl, Patty, she calls me up. She's crying. She says, "Steve says Frida's in love with him. Steve says Frida's in love with him." So, Frida and I got in the car, and we went over to Kingston's house. And we figured the only way to settle this, and I remember, he lived in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and he had a house that had a giant spiral staircase, and he was standing at the top of the staircase. Patty opened the door. He was standing up on the top. Frida and I walked in, and I said, "Hi, there's only one way to settle this." And Patty was standing and said, "Frida, do you love Steve?" And she went, "No," looking right at him. And I said, "Okay, I think we've solved this one."
And then you left.
Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This guy's a prick.
Wow.
I mean,
I forget sometimes the history you have with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, let me see if my wife's got anything else. As long as I'm on a roll.
As long as you're purging.
I just get it all out.
Purge
now.
It all. Lance the boil.
I just get it all out now.
It's festering.
Although I think I got most of it out.
I love these stories.
I think I got most of it out.
Hello?
Hey, honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
Are we just talking to Shotgun?
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about Steve?
Yes.
And outside of that time that he told Patty that you loved him, and we had to go, over to their house, and then you had to say that, or that you didn't love Steve.
Yes.
Well, we got a break. Why? Hold on a second.
Well, because you still have the third one of 3 o'clock.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we're running very late. Okay. Outside of that time when we had to go to Steve's house so you could say that you didn't love him, so that his girlfriend would think that that was the case.
Right.
Was there anything else?
No, I think that was enough.
That was enough. Do you remember, let me just give you a quiz. Do you remember where he was standing in the house when we had the big showdown?
On the stairs?
Yes, on the stairs.
Yes. On top of the stairs.
You're not even listening to the show now, are you?
No, boo, I'm shopping.
See? Oh. Look at that. I love that.
And let me say I'm very happy I'm with you as I whip out that American Express.
Right. Listen, there's no doubt you did better with me than you would have with him.
Yes, no.
I'm very happy with the result.
Oh, and let me tell you something. Just one more thing about it. This is something that's bad about me. I want to tell you something I did that was bad, though, that he later tried to exploit. When I worked at WPGC after he put the knife in Shannon's back.
Right.
And I'm not proud of this. I went in the prize closet and I stole a microwave.
Oh, God.
And I brought it home and Freedom knew immediately. She said, where'd you get this? And I made up some story. She said,
so that was your way of rebelling? That was your way of protesting?
No, no, I just wanted a microwave.
I might have had more than one present from the prize closet before I caught on.
I don't think there's a disc jockey in the world that hasn't gotten something out of the prize closet.
So anyway.
Microwave's a big item, though.
Man, this was back, you know, 1980.
Right.
Just come out.
Right.
So she says to me, well, there's no way we can afford this. Where'd you get this? And I said, well, you know, I took it from the prize closet. She said, okay.
Back when the microwave's like $2,000.
No, it's like $1,000.
I'm just giving
$500.
Very expensive.
Station got it free.
She said, take it back. So I snuck back into the station. I put it back in. Well, you know what that son of a bitch did? He then went on some local talk show, and he decided to talk about the fact that I stole a microwave oven from WPGC.
While you were still working there?
No, after I left.
Oh, after you left.
After I quit, somebody called me up and said, hey, Kingston was on some kind of radio roundtable show, and he says you stole a microwave. Well, yeah, I did, and I brought it back, okay? But at least I never told your girlfriend that I loved her and had a goddamn scene like that. You know?
That's a lot of hate.
I mean,
would he be the top of your list? I think he's the top of your list.
He
a lot of PDs do bad things to you, but
he's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the worst. But honey, I just told the whole story about how he stabbed Shannon in the back at PGC.
Well, Boo Boo, it's time to let it go,
Mike. I can't. The shotgun got me all worked up.
Yeah, it was taking, you know, shotgun called Freedom. We had a trip down memory lane.
I know. I did hear a little bit of that, and it was fun. It was fun hearing the boy I fell in love with.
Well, I love you, honey.
All right. Bye, sweetie.
I love you. I'm not advocating that anybody do anything like steal.
No.
Okay? And I shouldn't have done it, but listen, my wife made me bring it back.
We're going to have to start stealing pretty soon if you don't play any commercials.
Okay. All right, sorry. It's been like therapy for me today. Thank you.
You feel good? Do you feel like you got it all out?
I feel fantastic.
Yeah, whenever you threaten the stories and then you tell them both,
yeah.
You threaten two stories and told them both in their entirety, so I think you probably feel better.
Feel great. Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
And
Mike.
You know, well, I got to
thank you, Dr. Buzz.
I have to give you credit. I never worked for the guy, but I've met the guy several times, and, you know, I almost feel like I hate him as much as you do.
Yeah. I love you, man.
Thank you, man.
I love you. Do you hate him, Buzz?
Absolutely.
That's bad. Listen to that. Buzz hates somebody. And Robbie, I don't even have to ask you.
Don't even
have to ask you. Okay. We'll be back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
Currently starring in Lawrence of Arabia, it's Dawn and Mike.
You know, I promise I'm going to keep this brief. But I was just talking with Mike and Rob, and I'm remembering now, really, about the thing with this program director and Frida.
Right.
I don't think I explained how bizarre this was, that I was married with Frida.
Newlywed.
Newlywed.
Ah, okay.
He was getting together with the girl who he ended up marrying.
They have some kind of fight or something, and then he bragged that your wife
loved
him instead of you or something like that?
That I don't know.
Wow.
Imagine what a freaking nut that the guy apparently is going home and saying to his wife, hey, man, Frida doesn't love him. Frida loves me. Frida still loves me. Frida doesn't love him. Frida loves me.
Wow.
And then Patty, his girlfriend at the time, who's going through a divorce from Banana Don,
right,
came to me and she's crying. She says, I don't know what to do because Steve says Frida is in love with him.
A lot of issues there.
Mm-hmm. And I went to Frida, and this is why I love Frida. And she said, well, that's crap. The easiest way to take care of the situation is let's just drive over to their house.
That's Frida. Just take it by the horns.
I mean, that's... How weird is that?
That is very weird.
That's super weird.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is a guy that had it in for you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, big time. It was personal.
Yeah.
Wanted to wreck your life.
Right.
See. Hey, man, Frida loves me. Hey, Patty, Frida loves me. And, you know, every time I've met this guy, that is the way his whole demeanor is. It's like, hey, man. How you doing? Yeah. How you doing?
Well, the problem is, he's one of these guys, he's a short Napoleon complex guy. Okay, he's very short. He's a guy who was never able to make it as a disc jockey in radio.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a program director. You know, those who do, and those who can't become program directors. And because of that, he always felt that when he had a successful radio station, and the guy's programmed a bunch of successful radio stations, he always postures it to management as, listen, the disc jockeys are just stupid pieces of clay.
Yeah, it's all my ideas.
That I'm molding.
Uh-huh.
The flow of the station, the energy of the station, what the stupid disc jockeys say, that all comes from me. That's his whole rap.
Sure. Okay. I mean, a lot of PDs have that idea, too. Yeah. A lot of PDs, a lot of consultants, a lot of managers.
And how he's held a job at K-Rock for so long, I don't know.
Right.
Because when you take away the morning show on K-Rock, they're like a one-share radio station.
Right.
So he must be doing the same crap with the general manager there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
Steve?
There have been a lot of guys like him in radio. Do you think radio has a higher percentage of guys like that than other businesses have?
No, I only speak from my own experience, but I would venture to say radio is the lowest level of this whole Hollywood thing that you eventually get.
Right.
With some of the, in show business in general, I think it behind the scenes, the people, the background people, and a lot of the people that are, you know, on TV and on the microphone, it attracts some of the lowest life forms in the world. But, I mean, it really does. I think it's people that take advantage. I mean, you get that in any business, but I just think in the arena we're in, you get a lot of those guys.
But the best guys I worked for when I played records, mm-hmm. when I had to listen to what they do, were the guys who were the most secure.
Right. Absolutely.
I got like Scott Shannon. Mm-hmm. When I worked at WLS in Chicago, John Guerin was the program director. The guy had never been on the radio in his friggin' life, but he had the greatest disc jockeys in the world because he would just tell everybody, just go out and do a good show.
Right.
If you look good, you'll make me look good.
And I think you have to be a good one. You have to be somebody that enjoys the talent, that enjoys the people that are doing it. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna have that kind of radio station.
Oh hell, Scott Shannon used to get drunk and call up and do bits on my show. He used to do the stuff like, you know, Billy Bob, who would be flying a helicopter at night doing nighttime traffic reports and, you know, meanwhile,
having fun with it, which is really what you have to do.
Right. And I know that Shannon's at home just, you know, having his bottle of bourbon and calling me up and want, you know, he would seriously call me up, hey boy, let's do a bit.
Right.
Let's go on the air right now. And the record would end, and I would just go, hey, I got a phone call right now, and it would just be Scott Shannon.
It'd be hysterical.
Yeah, just doing a bit with me.
That's fun, right?
Now, that guy is a great PD.
Yeah.
You know, John Guerin was a great PD. The guy I worked for Kiss FM, Jerry DeFrancisco, is a great PD. We had nothing but bad PDs at Wava.
Oh, we had a string of them. How many we have over there?
Okay, we had Smokey Rivers.
Bad PD.
And that was followed by Mark St. John.
Bad PD.
Who was followed by
Matt Farber.
Matt Farber.
Bad PD.
Who was followed by Chuck Beck.
Chuck Beck.
Chuck Beck, who might have been the worst of all of them.
He was the one that really torpedoed us when we left there. He really, really did.
He's the guy, if you want to know what this guy, physically, he resembled the actor, if you've ever seen the movie Arlington Road,
mm-hmm. okay.
is it Tim Robbins?
Tim Robbins, oh, yeah.
Who
Tim Robbins with slightly longer hair.
Yeah. You know what, that psychotic quality that Tim Robbins has
right.
to him?
Uh-huh.
That's what this
little
guy...
combination of Tim Robbins and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And put like long hair on him.
A really evil, scary dude. And
then he had some little germ that worked as his assistant. It was his, like
Brian Bridgman.
His right-hand man. But then there was another guy after Brian Bridgman. Somebody, Charlie, what was that guy's name?
All right, who are we missing?
Brian Bridgman left when Chuck got there.
That's right.
For obvious reasons.
Brian Bridgman was the
music director.
He was the henchman for Farber.
Yes, he was.
And he was a dink, too.
No, he was. I thought he was all right.
Don't you remember that time we took him out?
Right.
He had never had a drink before.
We took him to a Christmas party.
he had barfed up a
shooter. It was a kamikaze.
Yeah, we gave him a kamikaze shooter, and he
puked
drank
all over the bar.
And immediately puked. Who are we forgetting?
Brett Dumbler.
Brett Dumbler
was Chuck Beck's assistant.
You know what? I don't know if he's still there or not, but he was.
I don't remember him as being that bad a guy.
No, he was all right. He was good between me and Chuck. Chuck was a dick. But Brett was at the Mobile affiliate for a while. I don't know if he's still there or not.
Hey, do you remember?
And Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor, God, you remember them all.
I had to work on it.
Brian Bridgman, I remember, simply because I know why you bonded with him. You both lacked any kind of communication skills whatsoever.
The last, one of the last stations he was at, his first day there, the tower fell down.
Do you remember when that dumb disco song Mercedes Boy was out?
Oh, my God.
I remember walking by the PD's office one day,
And Mark St. John, the program director, and Brian Bridgman, the music director, were sitting in there singing falsetto as the song, a song that they played every 90 goddamn minutes on the station.
Right.
They said, "Would you like to ride in my Mercedes, boy?" And they're dancing and jumping around. What the hell is this?
Yeah, and Mark St. John, like, put a business suit on Where's Waldo, and you get Mark St. John. I mean, that's what that guy looks like.
Hold on. He was the best because, here's why he was the best. We would lie to his face.
Absolutely, because he was one of the guys, like so many of them, that needed to have the meetings where they'd go over the show with us.
He would call us in for a meeting and he'd say, "Listen, guys,
records, playing the records an hour," that was his big thing.
"Guys, this morning you didn't play all the records, you didn't do all the stuff," and we'd look at him right there and we'd go, "Mark, it got away from me today. I promise tomorrow, and Mike will back me up on this."
I did that, and how many times did you say that to Mark? You had to say that to him 15, 20 times.
Constantly. I promise, tomorrow, we're going to hit every mark.
And one day he got really angry, and he said, "I am so angry at you," and his voice went into this, like, girlish
exactly falsetto.
It was astonishing.
That's exactly how it sounded, because it was some stupid rule. I know, hold on, I know what it was. It was the thing with the time.
Yeah, the time, right?
That he had rules that he wanted a certain amount of records played every hour.
Right. And he would look at the log to find out when the commercials were played. Wouldn't he do that? And didn't you try to trick him with the time?
What I would do is, I did a great disservice to our listeners. If it was like, if we had to play we have to play eight records between 7 and 8 o'clock. Well, I wouldn't start the eighth record until 2 minutes after 8.
Right.
But as I started the record, I'd say, "It's 5 minutes until 8 o'clock, everybody."
You would, and then we used to get calls about it, too.
Sure.
"Hey, are you guys sure what the time it is?" "Yes, of course we're sure."
So you know what Mark St. John did? He got pissed one day. He came in, he got all mad, and he said, from now on, every morning he was going to come to the station, and he was going to set the station clock with the atomic... Well, what is
the
thing?
Atomic clock.
The atomic clock.
And he would get to the station at 6 o'clock, at home, he would listen starting at 6 o'clock, and he did for a long time. It was so stupid.
Imagine that. I'm having to lie about the time, giving people inaccurate information, so that if Mark St. John was listening, he would think that we were playing the records in the right amount of time.
I'm trying to think how long we were at WAVA, and I think it was like 5-6 years?
Yeah.
With like 5 program directors.
Yeah. They were constantly changing.
Six years? 6 years, 5 program directors.
Constantly changing. God, and they're all jag-offs. I mean, I must have worked for 25 PDs, and 3 of them were good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
3 of them, actually, I learned stuff from, and were real mentors to me. And the other guys, they're all a-holes.
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Good evening.
Hi.
You were talking about Scott Shannon?
Yes.
He was Billy Bob Finley back when you were on PTC.
Yes, that's right. That's Scott Shannon used to
play the Elvis records backwards. Elvis is alive. Scott Billy Bob Finley.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it wasn't the funniest stuff in the world, but
I thought it was hilarious.
I was
14 at the time, and it just, you know, I'd listen to you every night.
Thank you. It was the program director calling in to do bits on the show.
Hey, and that's the kind of guy you want to have. You want to have a guy that supports the people that are on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, Don, you worked with a guy named Jack the Whack ever? He claims he's worked with you before up at WAVA.
Oh, Mike would remember that too. Jack the Whack. I don't. You know,
Charlie Broyles a better member. I don't think we had a Jack.
There might have been a.
We had a lot of this.
There might have been a Cadillac Jack.
Is there a Cadillac Jack?
I think there was a Cadillac.
Now, his name was Jack the Whack. He's always talking about where he worked with you all, and you guys were a bunch of a holes. And
Jack the Whack. Charlie, was there a Jack the Whack that we worked with?
We ever have Jack the Whack?
If it was, a very brief period of time.
But I can't remember for sure.
What's that?
Dave Labonte. I think that's his real name.
No, we never worked with that guy.
I never heard of that guy.
That guy I hired that guy. No, I didn't hire that guy.
Where did he work before WAVA?
I don't know where he worked before, but he...
No, wait a minute.
Did he ever go by the name Crockett?
Yes.
Yo, I hired him and fired him down in Annapolis. That guy worked in this building when they had all that crap going on.
He was Crockett.
Oh, that's
remember that? All that bad stuff that like to talk about.
Guy was having sex like with a 16-year-old girl in the parking lot.
Yeah, he was a total dick. The guy's a total a-hole.
Right, yeah. Hey, listen, the next time the guy says that we're an a-hole, why don't you ask him about the time he got arrested for having sex with a 15-year-old in the parking lot here?
Damn.
Okay?
And tell, him, and tell him I fired him because he wouldn't show up for work.
Okay.
All right.
I think I hired him before all that crap happened.
Bye-bye.
Well, Jesus. I think he lived on a boat for a while.
Hello.
Introduce myself. I'm Humpty. Pronounced with a Humpty. Hey, Lisa. Oh, how I like the Humpty.
Hey, let's do it together.
He's in the top 10.
Let's do it.
Right there.
He doesn't seem to be listening.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
Whatever.
Boy, we're all having our little random thoughts here today.
Yes, we are.
It's fun.
Yes, we are.
It's the holidays. You're getting in the Christmas spirit, I can tell. You purged that. You know what? You might even go to the tree lighting tonight.
No way. No way. I still hate that tree lighting tonight. I hope the tree falls on Al Roker. We have to break now. Truck stops will come. Coming up. Also, never mind. Tell you in a minute. We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
I hate when people talk during the movie.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, we got way off schedule today.
Schedule?
We got to have these freaks lined up for Friday's freak show.
Yeah. Are we getting enough freaks? What's the dealie?
No. Well, everybody was calling to talk about back in the day in radio and stuff.
Those were the days.
And we got to open up the lines again now. Friday. We're giving away $1,000 from Hotwire.com.
And that is our official freak music you're playing, right?
Yes, Hotwire, the brand new online travel company that makes it simple for you to get a great deal on travel. Hotwire, a great trip starts with a great deal. $1,000 cash, that's the prize on Friday. If you're a freak, call us up. If you have a talent, call us up. It's a combination of our freak shows, our talent shows, and our What Would You Do for $1,000 show.
Yeah, we are very, very liberal as far as what we will allow in our freak shows.
Excellent.
So if you got a thought, something you can do, something you have on your body, something whatever, you know, and as Don mentioned before, nudity always encouraged.
Our doors are open, and we're getting the menu set for Friday. So if you have a talent, if you have an oddity, I know we've already got a couple of four-nippled boys coming down.
Yes, very exciting.
Come on down. Call us first, though, and let us know what your talent is. We'll break into the show as soon as you call with your talent at 877-365-3636.
Wonderful.
Charles Stossel is here. Hello, Mother Chucker.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see. We got a couple of freak calls before we get to the movies. Hello, Dynamite. Dynamite.
Yes, boys. How are you?
Hi. Great. Thanks.
The freak show. I want to see if I can qualify for it.
Okay.
I can take a book of matches, light them on fire, and stick them in my mouth and eat them.
I don't see why not.
I always enjoy the fire tricks.
Sounds I don't good. See why not. That's great. What's your name?
Rob.
Rob, hold on, please.
You know, we can say now, technically, we have a fire eater.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom, what's your talent, or how are you a freak, Tom?
I can stick a match by my butt and fart, and it blow the match fires.
I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry. Not acceptable.
Weak.
Not bright enough. He'd hurt himself.
Especially coming on the heels of the guy who just had a great idea with a pack of matches.
I'll tell you, he'd say he'd light his farts on fire and then he'd burn his eyebrows.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you calling for the show, Joe?
Yeah, I'm just calling for the show, for Christ's sakes. You guys ramble on so goddamn much.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, F you, Joe.
Hey, F you too, scumbag.
Hey, F you, buddy.
No problem.
F you, buddy.
Listen to that crap, suck-ass radio about memory lane. Who wants to hear that?
Hey, listen, jackass. You don't like it, change the station. You stupid effer.
You guys suck this much.
You suck. You dumb pig effer.
You suck. Hey, we did your mother this morning.
That's okay. I did your wife this morning.
Yeah, but your mother had a hair. We had to shave her back first.
You piece of garbage.
That's part of you ran down your mother's chin, you scumbag.
Oh, that's a nice one. Hey, listen, the show sucks so bad, but you've been listening to it all day.
Well, there's nothing else to listen to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's nothing else to listen to.
How about if you go on in the morning against somebody that's worth it?
Hey, listen, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about, douchebag.
Hey, Elliot rules. You guys.
Oh, please. Listen.
In the morning.
Elliot, I got news for you. I'm going to give you another trip down memory lane right now. Mike and I did Morning Drive in this town.
Number one, baby. Number one.
Already did it.
Number one, and we're not going to let you get a word in edgewise because our microphones are louder.
Stupid jack off.
I forget. You know, we got going with that because I think we've had that kind of show, but we can always break the glass in those circumstances, but it was kind of fun to argue with that.
Absolutely. Good.
Sure was.
Next time you come to a hockey game, that person you mentioned, a little pissant, sits in front of me, a few rows in front. We'll just throw things.
That disc jockey, you know,
hey, you know what? As your disc jockey friend once said, the eagle does not hunt flies.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk about him when he cracks the top 10.
There you go. Okay.
That's kind of the barometer of success in this business.
Because right now, it's treading water territory.
Really?
Yes.
Correct.
That's pretty bad.
Yes, it is.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
I love that. I love that. A guy who's been hanging on every word that we say.
Right? No, every word.
And then we say, well, why are you listening? Because there's nothing else on.
There you go.
Please. I only wish it was...
freaking stations in this town.
I only wish it was that easy. Please, you jag off. Come down here and let me kill you slowly.
Go listen to his favorite station, WAHL. A-hole radio.
Oh, A-hole, okay. All right, I didn't get it for a second.
I'm sorry.
WFUK.
Oh, this is fun. And you know what's great? We're still talking about it, and everybody's hearing us, but they're not hearing that guy anymore. No.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to try out for your freak show.
Yes, yes, yes. What is your talent, my friend?
I've got mitts.
Excuse me?
I've got mitts.
What do you mean you've got mitts?
Man.
Oh, you've got tan mitts.
He's got mitts. Do you have huge, beautiful breasts?
Well, yes.
Are they like in Fight Club?
I'd say C cup.
Ooh. Are you talking about Meatloaf and
like
Fight
Meatloaf
Club?
And Fight
Club? Have you ever seen Meatloaf and
no,
Fight Club?
No, I haven't.
You got to rent Fight Club.
Really?
Just to see Meatloaf's move.
His breasts?
Yes.
I think I can compete with the Detroit Lions football
Wayne
coach.
Wayne Fonz?
Can you
absolutely. Can you touch your nipple with your tongue?
Well, let me see.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
God damn. No, I better not.
No, try.
Try. And you called me gay before.
I know. For the good of the show.
No, can't do it yet.
Practice. Well, if you think they're big, are they more than a handful?
Absolutely.
All right, come on down.
And wear a bra.
Yeah.
Got it.
Absolutely. Come on down with your tan mitts. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mitts.
Hey, Don and Mike. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, sorry you guys have to put up with idiots like that other caller.
Hey, it's fun. It's part of the job.
Right. Yeah, well, hey, you guys got to get that guy who farts on command to do an encore for you. Not be a contestant. Just come on and do that again.
What do you mean, Tommy Hilfarter? Well, listen, yeah. We had Tommy Hilfarter come down one time, and frankly...
He punted the last time he was here.
He
did what?
He could not respond to the pressure. Right. We had him down to fart on command, and he couldn't do it.
He brought his slacker friend with him, and the slacker friend wasn't doing all that well, but he did better than Tommy Hilfarter.
Yeah.
He was distracted.
When you had him on that last time, I pulled into my driveway and just sat there in my car laughing my ass off listening to that.
Well, Tommy Hilfarter is welcome anytime on this show, but he's got to bring his A game like Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's kind of like a field goal kicker in the NFL. He's got to make a few from outside the 40-yard line.
Right.
All right, well, keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. All right, listen, as more talent show calls come in, Lisa will break in and let us know. Phone number 877-365-3636. And now,
pride of Puerto Rico.
Here he is.
Here's movie man, Charlie Stossel.
Charlie, of course, before we talk about movies, we've got to go to the mailbag.
I've noticed you have something in your hand. Part 6?
Is that something from Hagerstown?
Sure is.
You know, I'll tell you right now, I think we all agree.
I look forward to it.
This is our new favorite right here.
The only letter received this week, Charlie. And this comes from angry, innocent, white prisoner, David Xavier, prisoner 215-529, Hagerstown, Maryland. Dear Don and Mike, I want to begin this letter by thanking you guys. Recently, a caller mentioned that you guys are the reason he didn't commit suicide. You have also saved my life. I'm an innocent man in prison, and every day, bad things happen here. People are stabbed, guards beat inmates for no reason, and worse. I've thought of hanging myself, But when I'm at my lowest, you guys make me laugh, and I realize life is worth living. I usually write and send you the latest chapter in Charlie's life. However, I wish to address another issue before you read this chapter.
Uh-oh. And I'm waiting for that big shoe. I'm waiting for that to come on down.
Hold on, we get another freak.
Oh.
Hello, Josh?
Yes.
What's your talent, Josh?
Well, I have physically really big balls, testicles, like I guess a Lydian training.
Yeah?
And I can make them beat like a heart.
You can make them beat like a heart.
You know, this is turning out to be the gayest freak show we've ever had.
Yeah, come on down.
Come on down.
All right, I'll see you Friday.
This man can make his testicles beat like a heart.
Who's going to check that one?
Lisa. Hold on, please.
You got it.
Hold on.
What a show it's going to be.
See you Friday.
Oh, God.
Let me see. He continues to write. Jim McClure is a total a-hole.
Yeah, round of applause for that.
November 22nd, this whore caused you guys to go on a work stoppage. This, in turn, delayed Charlie Salsel's appearance on your show. Because of this, by the time you guys read my letter, my local station, WARK, had preempted you guys from Maryland basketball.
Oh, dear.
So because of the whore Jim McClure, I was unable to hear and record you guys reading my letter. I don't know if Rob called him a whore or if you guys enjoyed my letter to the post chairman of the board. Please consider replaying that segment the next time you have vacation. Enclosed is the final chapter in Charlie's life.
Oh, the final chapter.
I hope he gives me a new story.
I have also enclosed a preview of my next book.
There you go.
Excellent. Good. Entitled The Spiwak Saga.
Oh,
oh my God.
A History of Hate. And here we go with the final chapter of Charlie's life.
Very good.
And again, I love it because it's C-H-A-R-L-I.
There you go. Charlie.
Charlie's life. The final chapter. When we last left Charlie, he had become a she and then had been sold to an international pimp. Aboard the pimp ship, the pimp had been attracted to Charlie and began to make his move on Charlie.
Pimp ship.
Charlie was sore the next morning.
Oh, dear.
When the owner had made his move, Charlie had been scared at first. But seeing a bulge, smelling the odor of his body, and imagining the man's wet thing inside her, made Charlie mad and wet with desire. After the man had finished riding Charlie for the fourth time,
he got up and left.
Is a salty rag coming?
Oh, no, hold on. Charlie had begged him to spend the night, but the man said he had to go. Charlie fell asleep crying. During the next month, Charlie spent every night with her owner. Charlie just couldn't get enough relish.
Oh, God.
I guess he means the man's relish.
Yeah. Sure.
Charlie loved the feeling of it. Inside her place.
Oh, dear.
She preferred to eat it.
Oh, no.
Once in Charlie's mouth. In her mouth.
Oh, this is bad.
The next morning, the door opened and Charlie's owner strolled in. Charlie jumped up, eager with desire. Charlie reached for her lover, but the man stepped back. Sorry, babe, it's over. I found a buyer for you. Pick up your gear and be ready to leave in an hour. Having said that, the man slapped Charlie on the ass and left. Charlie had never felt lower. Her entire life, she was an outcast.
Her entire... I like you making you totally female now.
She had never felt right in a man's body. And now that she was a woman and in love, the man who she craved with her entire soul and body had just sold her. Charlie thought, what was the point of going on? Charlie went into the bathroom and took a razor blade.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Laying in the tub, Charlie took the razor and slashed both of her wrists.
Oh, dear.
Losing consciousness.
Not a happy ending.
No, not at all.
What, like the protein was not the happier ending?
Hold on. Losing consciousness, the face of every little boy Charlie had known flashed before him.
Oh.
The face seemed to take pleasure in the fact that Charlie had committed suicide and was now going to hell.
Oh, dear.
The end.
Oh!
Hey, I'm very abrupt.
What a dismal end for you, Charlie.
Go for your scrapbook, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness.
He killed you off.
Wow.
Of course, then we have the what looks like just a tease to the next section.
Yes, yes, here it comes.
The Spiewak Saga, A History of Hate. Argentina, 1958. The thin, pale man left the airport. He couldn't believe his luck in escaping from Germany before the Allies had caught him. He hated the Americans and their foolish belief that all races are equal.
Oh, God.
Clearly, the Aryan race was supreme.
Oh, no.
And all others must be eliminated.
Oh, boy, it's a Boys of Brazil book.
The man walked to an outside cafe and sat down. Ordering wine, the man made a silent promise to himself. I will go to America, find a good German woman, and start a family. My descendants will revive the Third Reich, and the Spiewaks will rule supreme.
There you go.
There's the tease. There's the tease. Something to look forward to.
Boy, Rob, we've had a lot of that on the show today.
Picking Laurence Olivier, Marathon Man.
There you go. That's the prison mail today.
Wow.
Terrific.
That's terrific.
My goodness.
Aren't you happy now, Rob?
Couldn't be more pleased.
Terrific, yeah. Well, you're happy, Charlie. You're off the hook.
I'm dead.
You're dead.
I've killed myself.
Wow. Book's over. Okay, hold on. Before we talk about movies. Hold on. Got more free show calls, I think.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Don and Mike, this is Jeff. How are you doing today?
Hi, Jeff. We're doing great. What's your act? What's your talent?
I've got a pretty long thing, and I can put it between my legs and into the bad place.
You know, we're getting too much of that on today's show.
Yeah.
That's a little too gay.
I don't know if I want to see a guy take his thing, put it between his legs and into the bed. Oh, do you want
me? No, I don't. I was just looking at you. I was giving you that look again. No, of course I don't.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who is this?
This is John.
Hi, Johnny. Johnny, what's your talent?
I've got, it's actually a medical disorder in a way. I'm triple jointed. I can actually
triple jointed?
Triple jointed, yeah.
Okay.
I can actually turn my torso completely around and kiss my own ass.
I would love to see that.
That's phenomenal.
Now, hold on. At least it's put on the screen, though. You're calling from South Carolina.
Yeah.
So how would you...
I'd drive up there for that for $1,000. Shoot.
All right, if you could physically turn your torso around and kiss your own ass, that'd be a pretty good trick.
Yeah. I'll do it for $1,000, yeah.
All right, well, now there's no guarantee you'd win.
Oh, I know. Okay. I know.
Well, it sounds like you'd be in the top five, though, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
Get directions from Lisa, please.
Wait. Why does that sound like a scam to me? Yeah, I could turn around and kiss my own ass.
No,
when he gets here and does it, we'll all be enlightened.
Oh, yeah. I got something. Here you go.
Here we go. Listen up.
Don't kiss this.
Turn this torso around. Oh, yes. Yeah. Sponsor away.
Very nice. Thank you. www.egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet.
That one's for the Razorbacks.
I'm wearing an Arkansas warm-up suit today.
Very festive. And it's warm right now.
Sure is, Mike. Egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet. Chuck, hold on. We got to do a break. Then we'll come back. How many movies you got this week?
There are no new movies this week. I told Mr. Boyhill earlier.
Or we would get out then.
All right.
Bye, Charlie.
You're serious? There are no new movies
this week? Is there anything you can talk about in the world of cinema?
I can talk about two that I've seen that are coming up, if you want to do that.
No, I don't want to get... getting ahead. There's no new movies opening.
No, literally nothing new. Wow. We got holdovers from all of last week.
All right, we'll get out.
All right, then. See you later,
guys. Bye, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Have fun.
Charlie Stossalon movies.
There you go.
Except there are no movies this week.
He just came in to get his prison mail.
So what is Roger Ebert going to do this week on his TV show?
Yeah. Well, I'll just sit there. In fact, I'll always sit down. That's Roger Ebert. Join me tonight when it's Ebert and Stossel at the movie.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that is certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
They love to hee-haw with the wrinkled meemaw. Don and Mike.
How we do. Oh, we truly do.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about the freak show on Friday?
You got a variety of men coming down and doing all sorts of very gay things.
We got too many guys.
Yeah.
Frankly, we need some girls.
We need a lot of women.
You know, this is not like strip trivia. I mean, girls, if you've got an oddity, if you've got a talent.
Yeah, we take like a mole on your chin right now.
For God's sake, call in. Right, yeah, I mean, if you got two nipples, call.
Or if you like an appliance. No, that was the other thing we did.
Although I still do have the compactor.
Yep. The trash compactor?
If Louise wants to call.
Louise.
I've got it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Eric.
Eric, are you calling for the freak show? Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, what's your talent, sir?
I can do various things. I can make myself vomit on command. I can tuck my ears inside their cells.
You can do what with your ears?
Fold the top part and shove it in the hole so it just stays folded up.
What else can you do?
I can put a chain in my nose, pull it out my mouth.
Now, that one I like. Mm-hmm. That one I like. If you can put a chain in your nose and pull it out your mouth. You mean like a chain that a woman would hang like a pendant from? I mean, you don't mean like a chain?
No, not like a link chain. Like, yeah, like basically like a necklace or something like
that. Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
Yeah, we love that. That's a time-tested one. Sure. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Very good.
And then maybe you could make yourself throw up and also do that thing with turning your ears inside out.
Yeah, while you tuck your penis into your bad place.
Hold on. We turned that guy down, Mike.
Oh, very good.
We turned him down.
Okay, it's just wishful thinking.
We got a ton of stories from the wacky story file that we've not gotten to recently. They're trying to get the one right now. This is one that we found in the newspaper from the state of Maine.
Ah, the great state, the Pine Tree State, vacation land.
A man who tried to hide his blindness for years will soon get help from a miniature horse.
A horse, a seeing eye horse?
Yes. Dan Shaw is believed to be the first blind person selected to receive a horse instead of a dog as a full-time guide.
Is this a full-size horse?
No, it's a miniature horse.
A miniature horse, okay.
It's a miniature horse, but I think that this is one. Robbie, didn't we decide this would really be good for Alan Vick?
Yeah, I think
this
so.
This is not like, we just did Alan Vick the other day.
Yes, exactly.
But how about this one? Toronto man dubbed world's worst Charlton Heston impersonator.
I like this already.
A Toronto-based actor is claiming a dubious honor. He's the world's worst Charlton Heston impersonator.
From my cold, dead hand. Damned apes.
We're both very fond of the Charlton Heston impersonations.
Let's call this guy, see if he's there.
See how his is. And see whether he uses Soylent Green. Another great Charlton Heston movie.
Soylent Green is people!
I'm trying to call Ken Leonard from Toronto. 32. World's worst Charlton Heston impersonator.
Now, what time is it in Toronto?
Same time as here.
It's yesterday, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No, come on now. Stop joshing me.
Yeah, see, we're going to get an answer.
Maybe he'll answer it as Charlton Heston.
Hi, you've reached Trailer Vision. We are unable to take your call right now.
You're right, that's an awful Charlton Heston.
It's horrible. Sounds like a woman. Not even close.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? We've been sitting on this one, too. I think I told you about this one the other day.
Yes?
Alan O'Day, who had that queer hit record, Undercover Angel.
Undercover Angel.
What is it?
Midnight Fantasy.
He had a number one hit with Undercover Angel in 1977. He has just recorded a rap version of the song inspired by new Charlie's Angel star, Lucy Liu.
Hey, there you go.
The rap version of Undercover Angel has the same chorus, but different verses.
Undercover Angel, Midnight Fantasy.
Including one in which he suggests he would like to give Eminem an enema.
Oh, very good.
He thinks that this will start a Santana-like comeback for him.
Fantastic. And if he'd like to give Eminem an enema, he could be on the freak show.
Okay, let's call Alan O'Day.
My name is Humpty.
I'm sorry, I've had him on the brain.
Alan O'Day. Listen, I got news for you. Santana had true talent.
Yes.
And when Santana made his comeback, it was because Santana had like a million hit records.
Tough with one record.
One record. Yeah. One queer record.
And not to mention his similar last name to the dummy.
Oh, Danny O'Day. And you want to guess how old Alan O'Day is now?
Hi, you've reached City Man Music and the home of Alan and Uke.
Oh, is this some... he's not there?
No, he's not there.
Let me call back then. Hold on. He's 60 now.
60, waiting for that big comeback.
Right. With a rap version.
Hey, if you're gonna start a comeback, do it with rap. When's Taco going to release the rap version of Putting on the Ritz?
That means he was 37 when that record came out. That's a little over the hill to be doing such a dumb record, isn't it?
Undercover Angel, Midnight Fantasy. I've never had a dream that's made sweet love to me.
Beautiful song.
Jesus.
Beautiful man.
Hi, you've reached City Man Music and the home of Alan and Yuka. You may bypass this message at any time by pressing the star button. Please listen carefully, as these options don't mean a freaking thing. Business or personal messages may be left by either waiting for the tone or pressing the beep.
It doesn't sound so.
One, or yourself, to hear back in English or to speak to a pharmacist. If you wish to send a fax, push start now or wait for nocturnal emission before hearing this message. Thank you so much.
I don't know.
Hi, you've reached City Man Music and the home of Alan and Yuka. You may bypass this message at any time by pressing the star button.
Press the star button.
Well, no, then we just get this thing.
Oh, that's right.
We just get this thing again.
Undercover
Angel, Midnight Fantasy.
Please.
Nocturnal emission.
Go to hell.
Oh, dear. Well, that bridge is burned.
All right, well, he's not there either.
No one's home.
No, okay, let's,
Was he in Canada?
No, he was in Los Angeles.
All right.
Okay, let's call another idiot. Here we go. A guy who's got a webpage, AlGoreDance.com and GeorgeBushDance.com, that feature naked caricatures of the two presidential candidates.
Fantastic.
Dancing.
I like
it. Okay? Buzz, go to AlGoreDance.com.
All right. Very exciting.
We'll call the guy who came up with this website.
This is an exciting moment on the show right now.
Undercover Angel.
Midnight Fantasy.
Barber Learning Center and Super Symmetry Systems. Please leave a message after the tone for any of the above or for James Watson. Thank you.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Nobody's at home. Al Gore dances naked to the Benny Hill theme. And George Bush dances naked to the Star Wars Cantina Band.
And we can't get anybody there?
No, he's not there. Did you get the website, Buzz?
I am, and you know, there's no sound on this computer, but the dancing Al Gores are funny.
Are they really, is it cartoons?
Yeah, it's cartoonish. I mean, they're done with photographs, but there are some baby Al Gores that are naked at the bottom. That's kind of cute.
You know, we have an endless supply of these dumb stories. Here's the next one.
All right, let's go. Moving right along.
We're going to call Roger Baxter now.
Oh, good.
Who has officially changed his name to Christian Glory Hallelujah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he spells Christian Glory the traditional way.
Right.
And then it's H-A-L-L-E-L-U and then Y-A-H.
Christian Glory Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Here we go.
I was watching the rerun of that, and maybe it's not a rerun, it's the first time I've seen it. Rerun of that Tammy Faye Baker special on Cinemax last night.
Oh, that's good.
That is quality television.
That's really great.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. She sings that at Oral Roberts University.
PTL, pass the loot.
Radio station.
Hello?
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 Hello, is this Christian Glory Hallelujah?
Yes, I must have just picked up the phone by coincidence here.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're calling from CBS Radio. Oh, I hope you have a second to go on the air with us.
Yeah, can you get me on my phone so I can hear much better on that? Yeah, or do you want to just do it on this one?
Your phone sounds good. Can you hear us okay?
I have a special phone in my bedroom.
Do you want me to call you back?
Yeah, you don't have my number there? It's 250.
Hold on there, Glory Hallelujah. I got the number I just called you on. Hold on, please.
He thinks we might have a winner here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Here, Spiewak, pick up 444, please.
You don't have his bedroom number?
Hi, Hal.
No, I don't.
Hi, Hal. Is this Hallelujah?
He's got his special phone in there. It's a princess phone.
Fair enough.
Jesus.
Excellent.
Okay.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Why didn't he change his name? Changed his name to complete his role as a self-proclaimed prayer warrior.
He's a prayer warrior.
It was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. He claims he spoke to God personally.
There you go.
Sure.
And God told him to change his name to Glory, Glory, Hallelujah.
And to keep a special phone in his room.
Okay, you got it?
Rob's having quite a conversation with this guy.
Okay. Jesus Christ. What was his problem?
But he's still got a problem, I believe.
I don't follow you.
That's unusual.
What's he saying?
Okay, so we will call, let the answering machine pick up, and then you'll pick up?
God damn.
He wants to record us.
Excellent, Hal.
That's
okay,
what
we'll call you
Al.
Back.
Cousin Hal.
Hallelujah. All right, what did he say?
I'm pretty sure that you're supposed to call this number.
Right.
And then when the answering machine picks up, talk for a few seconds, then he'll pick up.
Okay.
And then he's going to call British Columbia.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
Very exciting for him.
Al. All right, here we go. This is not Job Lives in Tucson. I think we're on in Tucson. Are we canceled in Tucson, or are we on in Tucson?
I think we might still be on in Tucson. I don't think we'd be canceled. We've only been on a short time. Of course, that's happened before also.
Wouldn't be the first time.
You've reached the home of Jesus and Christian Glory. Hallelujah.
Oh, boy.
Please leave a message.
Jesus and Christian? Yes.
Yeah, so hello.
We're looking for Glory. Hallelujah.
Christian?
Christian and Jesus.
We're
Glory, Hallelujah.
We're following your...
Hi. This is Christian Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for calling.
Hi, this is Don and Mike. Do you remember us? We were just talking to you a moment ago.
Yeah.
Hi.
We're on the air right now. Is that okay with you?
Okay with me.
Hey, where's Jesus at?
Well, he is at my heart. I can't say this is Mr. and Mrs. Hallelujah with all my six kids. So, you know, Jesus is the head of this home, and he is here in my heart. So,
hey, Rob, give me my religious music, please. I need to talk to a man who's actually spoken with God. When you spoke with God, what did he have to say to you?
Well, you know how to speak to God? Everybody can. It's called the Holy Bible or the Sacred Scriptures.
Oh, so you actually didn't have a sit-down with him?
Well, you know, when I said, I was 13, when I said, Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, please come into my life as Lord of my life. Then I received the Holy Spirit.
Have you spoken to God personally?
Yeah, all the time.
Has he come to you in a vision?
No. So he speaks to me through the Word of God.
Well, listen, I've read the Bible. It's a good book. Why, but when I read the Bible, I never see change your name to Christian Glory Hallelujah.
Did God tell you to do that?
Well, you know what? Abram, in the Old Covenant, meant exalted father, and God changed his name to Abraham. And Jacob meant, he grasped the heel. And God changed his name to Israel, which means one who contends with God. And Saul's name was changed to Paul, which means small. So it wasn't something that God commanded me to do, but I just wanted to do it because love being a Christian, and I'm excited about being a Christian.
Do you have a TV show?
Pardon?
Do you have a TV show?
No. Warner Brothers called me about going on Moral Court, but they haven't followed up, so they...
On what?
Moral Court.
Oh, M-O-R-A-L Court. That's a program.
Yes, Moral Court.
Right.
Now, Hollywood, yeah.
The press release I have here says that Hallelujah claims he had a heart-to-heart conversation with God before making his final decision in Arizona court. So that's not true?
Well, yes, it's true in that I prayed about that decision because Yah is short for Yahweh or Lord, and that's a pretty serious thing to have that in your name. And I wanted to make sure that that wouldn't be sacrilegious. So I did check out the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
So when somebody calls your machine and they say, you reached the home of Jesus, there's not another person that's changed their name to Jesus.
No, not somebody. No, there's a lot of Jesus's in Mexico, but none here. No.
Let me mention this about Jeremiah. You mentioned that name a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
He was a bullfrog.
Yeah.
He was a good friend of mine.
I never understood a single word he said, though, Don.
Well, listen, I'm going to say...
Something wine.
He's sure to drink his wine.
And he always had a mighty fine wine.
I always helped him drink his wine.
And I helped him drink his wine.
Right. And he always had a mighty fine wine.
He always had some mighty fine wine.
Right.
Singing.
So listen, joy to the world. So, what was your name before you changed your name to Glory, Glory, Hallelujah?
Roger Clark Baxter.
And what's wrong with that name?
Well, nothing really, but I just love being, you know, in Acts chapter 11, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, and not what people have experienced with Christians or what their concept of Christians is, but what a true Christian is outlined in the Bible.
Would you categorize yourself as a Jesus freak?
Well, I'm totally, I'm totally committed to Jesus, yes. I believe that he is going to come back pretty soon.
Do you go to church?
Pardon?
Do you go to church?
Yeah.
Well, what's your religion of choice, if I may ask?
I just believe the Bible is the word of God. I'm in a non-denominational church.
Yeah, do you talk to snakes or speak in tongues?
No.
Do you have a job?
Yeah.
What do you do, sir?
I'm a caretaker here at the Child Evangelism Fellowship office in Tucson, Arizona.
Have you ever been hospitalized for mental problems?
Yeah, when I was, 17, I had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
How are you doing since then?
Pretty good. I mean, I get depressed like everybody else.
Sure. Right.
Christians have nervous problems, too.
So when you go to a party or a social function, do you introduce yourself as Christian Glory Hallelujah?
I do.
Wow. You do. You get a lot of prank phone calls?
Yeah, I've been on the BBC, and I've been on another station in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's terrific. Do you sing the song, Glory Hallelujah?
Yeah.
Elvis Presley does.
When I
changed
my name, I never even thought about that song, but somebody called me up and sang that over the phone.
And let me ask you, do you drink?
No, I had what's called coccidiomycosis.
What would that be?
That's what they call valve
fever. Coccidiomycosis? That sounds nasty. Sounds like a sexual disease.
Yeah, well, we have what we call valley fever here in southern Arizona, and they have it in the San Joaquin Valley in California.
So you were hospitalized for
mental illness.
Mental illness, and you had some sort of fever?
Yeah, it's a fungus that's whipped up by the wind, and I was working on construction, and I got it in my lungs. It's called coccy pneumonia.
Oh, but it wasn't any kind of VD. Because when you said coccy, I was thinking it was...
Yeah, coccidiomycosis is the name of the fungus.
Uh-huh. It was a fungus?
Pardon?
It was a fungus?
It is, yeah.
Did it start here?
About 65% of the people in southern Arizona get coccy pneumonia.
Did it start in your feet?
Well, dogs, when they're lying in the ground, the dirt, they'll get it in their...
Let me give you a recommendation. Tough actin, tenactin.
Exactly.
That'll knock that fungus right out. It kills just about anything it touches.
What is that?
Tough actin, tenactin. John Madden does commercials for it.
Oh, okay.
Tenactin.
Yeah, well, it's good stuff. I take an antifungal medicine for it.
Sometimes I scratch mine with, like, a pencil. I get the eraser end of a pencil right between my toes. You want to keep that pencil when you do that. Damn, is that satisfying. Sometimes really scratching a nice athlete's foot, you can get a real rush out of that.
That's almost a religious experience.
Almost.
Almost,
I think it's a Lotrimin-based product.
Yeah.
I think it's got that kind of stuff.
Like Gynalotrimin?
Like Gynalotrimin, yeah.
But different,
yeah. But, you know, you get fungus down there, too, Rob. Wherever it's damp and moist.
Sure, even under a watch band.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, listen, Christian Glory Hallelujah, formerly known as Roger Baxter. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, what was the station? I didn't pick it up quick enough.
This is, we do Satan's work.
Huh?
We do Satan's work. Some have said, we are knights in Satan's service.
Uh-huh.
People have accused us of that.
What I mean, what, can
actually,
I have this?
We work for CBS.
CBS?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The evil is broadcasting.
I hope you guys check out the Bible.
I do. I read it all the time. And you know what? What I love about it, the ending never changes.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem.
When would that be happening? I'd like to make a
And a new tree of life and a new river of life.
When will that be happening?
Well, we have a 7-year tribulation period first, and then we have a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And then we have Satan will be released for a short time.
Will Disney be doing anything with that?
Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I probably. Somebody just wrote a book called Left Behind, so I imagine there'll be...
Just another chance to raise ticket prices as far as I'm concerned.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I don't know. I don't even know who's in it.
Does the millennial reign, is that going to be a special with NBC with Al Roker?
I don't know, sir.
That'd be great on TV, I think.
Be fantastic. Be as big as the tree lighting.
Consolidate that down to an hour. That I'd watch.
Do you think Jesus loves Robert Downey Jr.?
Jesus is what?
Do you think Jesus loves Robert Downey Jr.?
He loves everybody. He died for everybody.
Let me ask you something. Would Jesus love a bastard named Steve Kingston?
He sure would.
No, I don't think he would.
Yeah, he loves everybody. He does.
No, he doesn't. I want to tell you right now, Jesus does not love Steve Kingston from K-Rock Radio.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus is in love with Steve Kingston's wife.
Thanks a lot for calling, man.
Hey, God bless you, sir.
I really
check out the Lotrimil.
Yeah, and listen, try that tenactin.
There you go.
I think we wore him out
for the fungus.
Yeah.
He was a regular Jesus freak.
Christian glory, hallelujah, though.
How did he end up in our wacky story file? He was like a certified Jesus freak.
I don't know. I thought he was a nice guy.
I found him inspirational.
Except for the nugget about how he was hospitalized at 17.
I thought it was dreamy.
For having some kind of a mental problem.
He was simply charming.
All right.
We'd love to have Santa Claus come and stay with us.
All right, well, listen, that's the best we could do today because nobody else was at home.
Hello.
Okay. Let's clear the lines out right now. What we got happening here? We have every day from now until Christmas, we're going to be giving away some of the hottest Xmas gifts.
Right.
And all of the kids this year want the Razor Extreme Scooter.
Oh, yeah. It is a very hot Christmas item.
Okay. And I did a little research on this, and I found out that if you want, like, the cheap, non-official version,
right,
you can go on QVC and get it, like, for $39
right,
and get a little cheap-ass scooter.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the real ones from the Sharper Image. And like it says here in the commercial, while other stores may have Razor scooters, only the Sharper Image has the Razor Extreme.
Yes, it's extreme, man.
Which is the exclusive Razor scooter we're giving away now. What we'd like today is to have a squared circle match between two moms.
Right.
This would be a simple 90-second winner-take-all match.
Good.
Mom versus mom. No holds barred, except you can't drop the F-bomb and you can't drop the S-bomb.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the profanity.
Right.
Beyond that, anything goes. The nastier, the lower, the better.
Absolutely. We really want you to go at it.
Mom versus mom. So if you really love your children, as we were saying to Deborah Dean just hours ago.
Absolutely.
If you really, I'll tell you about that later. If you really love your children, moms, call now. We'll pick the first two moms to battle it out in the square circle at 877-365-3636 for the Razor scooter. I think I got something, but I don't know if it's going to be
any good. Let's go. Let's see what happens.
Only one way to find out.
You know what? I don't know, Lily.
No.
Now that judges can't accept that one.
Sorry, that was too small.
You knew that.
I'm sorry. Hallelujah.
Christian glory, hallelujah.
We will be right back with moms battling it out.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Would you say that these look like the breasts of a 43-year-old woman?
No. No, they don't, Miss Wiss. They're quite impressive. Bordering on spectacular. We have to be running along now.
What's your hurry, Sergeant? Wouldn't you like to have an early lunch?
The mayors of Cunnyland, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now listen, we haven't forgotten about you political junkies. We're going to have another square circle match between George Dubb and Surfboard Al.
That's right.
Stay tuned for that. Everybody loves the political humor.
Of course they do.
But we got a guy from New York. We love taking calls from New York.
Sure.
We were heard on tape delay every night on WNEW. Hello, Eric.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, my friend.
Question in the comments.
Yeah.
First, you made reference to yesterday. It says, I'm on tape. I couldn't really call up yesterday, so I'm calling up now. What is the WLBA? You kept on making reference to that yesterday.
Oh, please, come on.
It's a WNBA. You were saying it like you said it about 12 times yesterday.
Hello, WLBA.
You're wrong.
Now listen, Rosie goes, Martina Navratilova goes, Ellen DeGeneres goes.
WNBA, no L, there's no L.
Listen, sir, it's really important for you to close your mouth and listen right now.
Sure, I'm going
to
absolutely.
And you'll understand it.
Listen to the people who go to the games.
Now I got it. You know what? Now I apologize.
What is it?
Now I'm getting it.
Tell us what it is then.
WLBA?
Yes.
Yes.
In reference to lesbians?
There you go.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Thank you for the apology.
My next comment is about David Blaine. You guys also making reference to that. It's not a trick. He's not billing it as that. He's billing it as a test of endurance.
Oh, please. He's a dick. Thank you.
It's an illusion.
Please,
that was a quicker way to end that one right there.
I don't even know why we got into that with that guy.
Blaine.
Let's get the moms battling moms for the Razor scooter.
The fantastic Razor scooter.
And listen, really, meanest mom wins here. Hello, Diane? Diane? All right, she ain't there. Allison.
Yes.
Hi, hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Hi there. You want this Razor scooter?
I want it bad.
I hope your aim is true.
Who is who is your kid? Well, what is your child's name?
Scott.
Pardon me?
Scott.
Oh, Scott. I thought Scott. He said Sat, which was Elvis's name for his mom.
And
here's Scott.
How old is Scott?
He's 10.
And how long has he wanted your Razor scooter?
What?
How long has your son Scott wanted a Razor scooter?
For a very long time.
Has he ever called you ass?
No.
Very good.
Death Star. You ass.
My Death Star.
And he just said ass.
Yeah.
There's no way it could work. Ass.
Ass. All right, Allison, hold on a second. We'll need you to be as mean-spirited as possible.
Okay.
Let's meet your competitor. I think her name is Mickey. Hey, Mickey?
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from, Mickey?
Route 50 right now, sitting on in the road.
Gotcha.
It's going to be quite a challenge driving and arguing at the same time.
I'm a mom. What do you expect?
Mickey, who are you playing for today?
My son. His name is Joshua.
Joshua, how old is he?
He's 14.
All right, now listen, we're going to do this organized.
Very good.
I don't want both of you ladies screaming at each other at the same time. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to start with Allison, then we're going to go to Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. 90-second cage match. The mom who wants it the most.
How do the moms know when to stop? You're going to hit the buzzer?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready? We'll start with Allison.
Okay.
And then Allison, after you say something, Mickey, you say something.
Okay.
Then Allison, you say something. Get a rhythm going. I don't want to tell you what to say. I don't want to lead the witnesses. But ladies, let me just say, the mom who wants it the most.
Yeah.
Will win for her kid. Let's start. And Allison, you go first.
So, Mickey, which one of the low-class fathers of many of your low-class children isn't wealthy enough to pay for this razor? Well, obviously you should know because you're sitting here talking about low-class fathers. I mean, how many low-class fathers do you have for your low-class children? Oh, I don't have any, but I know that I'm pretty sure I saw you down on Route 1 checking out some new fathers for your new children that are on the way. Well, what were you doing down there, checking out one for yourself? No, not at all. I was trying to show my child what it looks like to see poor whores out on the corners with their children's daddy. Well, you know, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Yes, I do, and she loves it.
Advantage,
oh, really? That's very
Allison,
nice. Very classy. You talk about being a class act. Sounds more like white trash. I'm totally a class act. No, you're the white trash. You're the one that, you know, is sleeping around and no matter where. How would you know that? How would you know that?
I can totally tell.
You're a typical white trash person.
Well, Allison,
oh, absolutely. You must know. You got to live it to know it, right? No. I just see it. I see you walking around the streets all the time. You stay away from my children. Oh, well, absolutely. I'll stay away from your children. You just keep your little mongrels away from mine. No problem. My kids are a class act. They don't hang around whores like
you. They can't use the children.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, that's really just great talk for a mother to have come out of her mouth for a little child. I can see you want this Razor scooter real bad. Absolutely. You got to do whatever you got to do. That's absolutely wonderful. So what other nice things do you
do? Stop.
Happy holidays from the Don and Mike Show.
Stop. You know, I must say that, listen, it was not a knockout blow.
No, not at all.
And I think that, first off, Mickey, you don't win.
I'm too nice of a person. I tried.
Too nice, and Don usually sets a rule when we start these things that we forgot to say.
No children.
You don't bring the kids into it at all.
And all you were doing was following up what Allison would say. Allison would say that you're a whore.
It's like saying,
again, I'm just too nice of a person, I guess.
Well, and unfortunately, this is not a competition for nice people.
Right. So, listen, Mickey, you're out, and Allison, unfortunately, I'm going to make you fight one more woman.
That's okay.
One more woman.
Absolutely, okay. Allison. Allison, remember, don't bring the kids into it.
Hold on, please. Hold on. Let's meet the other woman. Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. Where are you from?
Reston.
Very good. Tammy. You ready for the battle?
Sure.
All right, Tammy. Now, same format as we had before. Hey, Allison, are you there?
Yes.
All right, this is your new opponent. Her name is Tammy.
Shake hands with Tammy, Allison. This is your next opponent.
Great.
Now, what we want is a knockout,
okay?
And you got to go back and forth, back and forth.
That's right, until we determine the winner. And we want a good, dirty fight.
And we will start with I'm sorry, we'll start with Tammy this time and give you girls 90 seconds to battle it out. Are you ready?
Ready.
Now, keep in mind that Allison gets some extra credit because she's already won the undercard.
Absolutely.
But frankly, it was a one-sided battle because she was calling the other girl a whore and calling her white trash, and the other girl was just saying everything back to her, parroting everything back.
Absolutely.
All right, Tammy, you ready?
I'm ready.
We will start with you. Go.
I don't think you're ugly, but deserves to get the razor. Oh, well, I mean, maybe you take a look in the mirror. I know that they have a lot of other nice-looking whores down in D.C. Maybe you can go visit your friends down there.
Well, you know, you seem to know an awful lot about them. You must be one.
Yeah, I just know. I understand where you live, and obviously you're in the Section 8 housing with all the other crackheads.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them around here, but I must say, you must be the greatest mother in the world living on the highway there.
At least I'm not, you know, sweating on my back 9 times out of 10.
Not a man. Hold on a second.
It's an early knockout.
You know, Allison has already knocked you out.
She already knocked you out right away, right away there, Tammy.
Okay.
Yeah, Tammy, once again, you fall into that nice category.
You suck at this. Goodbye, Tammy.
Bye.
Thank you, Tammy.
All right, now, Allison, unless we get another girl calling who wants to fight you, you're going to win. You're going to win.
But we usually find one or two out in radio land that decide that they're going to step up to the plate, so to speak.
Right.
Right.
Hold on just a second. Let me see. Are these the other moms still on hold? Hello, who's this?
This is Ann.
Ann, okay, here's a new one for you.
Ann with the children in the background.
Hi there, Ann.
Three small kids.
Ann, where are you calling from?
Ellicott City.
Who are you going to be playing for?
Peter.
Okay. Listen, Allison? Allison?
Hello? Yes.
Okay, Allison, this is Ann.
Yes.
Now,
hi, Allison.
And Allison, this I absolutely mean. We will not put you through this again. You knock out this one. You get the razor scoop.
And it'll be an incredible triumph.
Okay.
Okay, we'll give you 90 seconds. We start this time with the challenger, Anne. Anne, have you heard where the other women have gone wrong in this?
No, I haven't. My husband called me.
Oh, your husband called you. Well,
he told me I had to call Don and Mike.
Well, then it's a grudge match.
All right, then it could be another knockout for Allison. Let's go. And if she knocks out three in a row, then she deserves the scooter all the way. She deserves the win. Let's start with...
Be kind to me, Allison. I'm pregnant with number four.
Be kind to her, honey. That's not the point.
It works.
As a matter of fact, Allison, why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, let's see. Pregnant with number four. You've been spending a lot of time up in the inner city Baltimore Harbor area, I guess. Flat on your back as wet like the others.
Oh, yeah, really? No, actually, you've been spending a lot of time in Fells Point with your legs spread.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but at least I enjoyed it. I mean, at least I know who the people are. They're not getting me from the back.
Oh, they don't get me from the back, sweetheart. They get me from the front because I'm, fully endowed. And they enjoy looking at my pretty face. They must get you from the back because you look like a doll.
No, not me from the back. Well, I'm glad you're welly endowed and you can just breastfeed all the people that you have in that house. Sounds like you need some extra.
No, actually, my husband makes an enormous amount of money, so I don't need to breastfeed. I can buy 24 karat gold formula if I choose to do so.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that your pimp has paid you off that well.
Oh, yeah, he's a pimp, all right. He's an MBA graduate, and he's got a very nice job. And we live in Ellicott City, Howard County, one of the best counties in the area. Where do you live? Waldorf?
Oh, no, I don't live in Chuck County. No, that's where all the other whores live. You know, your brothers and your sisters.
Oh, yeah, they're from New York City, and my brother's an executive producer for ESPN. He must be from Chuck County.
Well, then you have every right to be flat on your back like that, getting knocked up all the time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Nothing better to do with your time?
It's called being a true good Catholic, sweetheart.
Oh, and is this your husband?
Are you
husband's child, or is this your brother's child?
Excuse me?
Is this your husband's child or your brother's child?
Now we're finally getting somewhere.
Practice incest. Maybe you're speaking from something that you are familiar with. We practice good fun sex.
Girls,
that's why we enjoy having lots of children.
Girls,
yes,
30 seconds.
There's no care, and we have enough room to procreate until our heart's content in this big old house.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're procreating a bunch of little monsters over there. That's great.
All
you need is another mom that's fully nothing but sitting around with her pants down all the time.
Oh, fully. I enjoy sitting with my pants down, especially when somebody's doing my legs and my toes and taking really good care of me and doing a massage because I have enough money to do that, sweetheart.
I didn't realize nuns were prostitutes as well.
Excuse me?
I didn't realize all the good Catholic girls were prostitutes as well.
Oh, really? Why do you keep going back to prostitutes? Is something kin and near and dear to your heart, sweet?
I'm just thinking in this area, there's so many just like you that have so many children, you know.
What area would you be referencing? Have you ever been to Hillary?
Wow, stop, girls.
What a fantastic battle, ladies.
Now, listen, that was a beautiful battle.
And they didn't even know each other.
That is a beautiful battle.
Astonishing.
And it's time now for the judges to each vote.
All right, very good.
If, Mike, you and Buzz would each write down the name of who you think deserves the scooter. Okay, Buzz is waiting with his vote.
Mm-hmm.
I have waited with my vote. And with all of the children in the background, Mike is waiting with his vote. Mike, you can't write down Christian Gloria Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
who won the battle between Allison and Ann?
There we go, right there.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta say it.
Allison gets it.
It's unanimous.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
It's unanimous.
Yeah, I can tell by the tone in her voice where she's from, so she deserves it.
Oh, meow.
So, listen, Ann, we thank you for listening and thank you for calling. Thank you, honey.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, look at that.
Allison, you're the meanest.
Look at that. Allison.
All right.
You beat three nasty bitches.
Excellent.
And congratulations. Who are you playing for again?
My son, Scott.
All right.
Well, That's right, Scott.
Your son, Scott.
He'll be very happy to ride the Razor scooter.
He has won the Razor. Well, here, Dr. Evil, why don't you read a slug? What am I doing?
Absolutely. Here we go. Are you ready, Allison?
Yes.
And may I say you are extremely evil.
Ooh, thank you.
You have won a Razor Extreme scooter from the Sharper Image. While other stores may have Razor scooters, only the Sharper Image has the Razor Extreme. Shop online at sharperimage.com or call them at 1-800-344-4444 for a location near you. You are wonderfully evil, Allison, and enjoy your Razor scooter.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Say thank you, Dr. Evil.
Thank you, Dr. Evil.
You're welcome, Allison.
Hold on, Allison.
Your name is true.
Yeah, she deserved to win.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
She's the ass.
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
Ass.
Ass. It's a funny word just to say all by itself. Ass.
And now I'm sure there are other ladies calling so that they could do better.
Of course.
You ladies should have called before.
Don't worry.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, I love you guys.
Hi, love you too.
Allison sucks.
Now you're too late.
No, I know, but I mean, it was just too bad you gave her three chances.
Well, it's because she knocked out each of the girls.
She did.
Well, I know you gave her kind of the George Bush, you know, three count thing, but she was not mean at all.
You mean you're meaner?
Yeah, listen.
I am totally meaner. I don't have any kids, so I didn't call in.
Honey, she was...
I wanted those scooters, though.
Honey, she was the meanest of the house frows that called in.
What would you have said to her?
I would have talked about their fat and their cellulite and their small breasts and their big Long Island hair. I mean, you could have gone to a zillion different places.
All
they did was talk about living in Washington, D.C. was the meanest thing that they said.
It's easy to Monday morning quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Well, hopefully next time you'll have a contest without... children being requirement, and I will kick anyone's ass.
Wow, that's common.
All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Jesus. Go eat your bitchly cow corn. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I was calling about the Razor scooter contest.
See, they're all calling now.
I'm sorry. The Razor scooter has been given away to someone other than you.
Oh. Yeah, Allison won it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
You've lost. Go away.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, I wanted to talk to Dynamite.
Yeah, you're talking to us. Hello there.
Hey, I just wanted to congratulate Allison for winning the scooter because that's probably the only gift her kids will get for Christmas because she ate the rest of them. Badass bitch.
Okay.
Wow. Marvelous.
Where were you girls when we were doing the contest?
I don't know. That was a wonderful call.
I don't know.
As I put my pinky in the corner.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh, and Man vs. Nature, The Road to Victory. In a few days, our eggs will hatch into nestlings like these over here.
They look awfully hungry, Mr. McClure.
They sure are, Billy. In nature, their mother would regurgitate food for them to eat.
That's gross.
It sure is, Billy. It sure is.
Clown porn aficionados, John and Mike.
All right, listen. We're just doing that live commercial.
Yes.
I said something about anal sex, and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
I was reading today in... It might have been the Wall Street Journal.
Or it could have been Out Magazine.
No, it was the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
You got the article about Vivid TV, Buzz?
I sure do.
All right, listen to this.
Until the...
You know our favorite channel on DirecTV?
Yes, absolutely.
596.
Channel 596, I think everybody's favorite channel.
The hot channel?
Right. Yes.
Vivid TV?
Right.
It is the hottest growing channel in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they are getting complaints from people saying that the sex that they're showing on channel 596 on DirecTV
is edited.
No, it's not explicit enough. That they want
more
sex.
Right.
They want more explicit sex.
Well, I would say that people that
they want more anal sex.
Oh, they want more anal.
Yeah, that's what I read in the New York Times today, or in the Wall Street Journal, whatever the paper was.
I would say that people that are interested in that type of thing are probably would like it to be a little more explicit.
It's not just on the dish anymore. It's on satellite systems in 16 million homes in America.
And here's a man who really stepped out on that idea.
Hey, try the Marriott burger.
Right, he's all for anal sex.
I wonder if he's ever logged into that. I bet he has.
Oh, yeah.
He likes that.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Radio Gods, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Great, I love your show, man.
Thank you.
Just heard Allison on there. Oh, man, she was like kicking up pretty good.
Right.
Thing is, you need to do like a battle of the sexes, guy versus girl.
No, you know what, and I'll tell you why that's unfair. It's just like when you hear a domestic violence, it's really unfair to have a guy fight a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow or the next day on the show, we're going to have dads versus dads. We do it. With moms versus moms, and then dads versus dads.
I think same-sex battles are the way to go. Yeah.
You're probably right. I think I had a brain squishy right there.
You know, because
brain squishy.
Because, you know, the guys, and I mean this is a compliment to guys, they will always go for the C word.
Yeah. Guys will immediately go to all the horrible things. They will go to the weight. They will go to the time of the month.
I never do the C word. I never do chubby at all.
You know.
Oh, okay, see, I got you.
Gotcha, all right. Thank
you. What time are you guys going to do this thing tomorrow for the dads?
Oh, I don't. It might not be tomorrow. It might be the next day. Probably the best thing. Listen all 4 hours every day.
All day, every day.
I'll be there.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
Now listen. Oh, thank you, guy. Don't forget that on Friday we're having the big freak show, giving away $1,000 from Hotwire.com.
Hi, guy.
We've got about 20 participants now. Lines are still open, and we're going to be trolling for this on tomorrow's show as well.
Wonderful.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, God, so I think that if they did have by all the sexes, I do think that the women would rise to the occasion. They can be vicious when you push them.
Oh, I know that. But I think that they can be really vicious when you are, you know, in the same home with them. It's not something that strangers can do to each other.
Yeah, you know, and we've always found it works best when we have fights. You know, cat fights are good.
Right.
And man on man is good.
Yeah, it's no fun if a guy, you know, wins it. I mean, you know, people won't like that.
Hey, come on. You never met my ex. I mean, she'd be great if she was fighting with a guy.
Some angry guys out there.
You know, who wants to see OJ beat up Nicole?
Right.
Nobody. But wouldn't you love to see OJ get in the ring with a guy like, let's say, Jim Brown?
Yeah.
Someone who could really kick his ass?
Absolutely.
Right.
So women are good at using their mouths, guys.
Listen, leave the driving to us, please.
Oh.
We don't have women and men fight on this show. I'm sorry.
And take the socks out of your mouth the next time you call.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Hi, we're fine. How are you?
Give her the Robbie. Hi there.
Hi there.
What?
Well, you know, I wanted to call and take the sex quiz.
Well, we pretty much only give that to celebrities.
Well, consider me a celebrity.
You're a celebrity?
In my own right.
Are you a man or a woman? You know what? You might be right, Rob. This might be a man pretending to be a woman. Robbie thinks this is a man pretending to be a woman.
Are you a man pretending to be a woman?
I am a man pretending.
Oh, is this Tina? Is this Chris?
No.
Who is this?
It's Joey.
Joey, Rob, excellent call. Rob, that was brilliant. That was, I got to give you your props on that.
Nice.
That was brilliant.
Now, let's hear some more of the woman.
Oh, what do you want to hear?
Wow.
You know, you
like
had us.
You had us. Like that.
You had us going.
That's good.
You did.
Especially your laugh. Do your laugh again.
Wow.
That's good.
That is such a girl laugh.
That is very scary.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right,
bye-bye.
Say goodbye as a man, too.
Oh, damn lady. He, she, it hung up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I wanted to give you guys an acronym for the C word.
Yes.
Can't understand normal thinking.
All right, that's another good one. Thank you.
That's a great acronym.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike
I love
show.
The acronyms.
What? Robbie will be your daddy.
Hey, look, Robbie, it's my guy.
He's hateful. Mike is the only funny one.
Oh, now he's turning around to you again, Mike.
Thought I might have lost him.
You know, you really bust a gut when this guy calls.
I do. Well, that's he's mine. He's mine.
Oh, he's
you know,
gone.
It's a mutual admiration society.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Tom.
And I bust a gut when this guy called.
Yeah. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Mike.
Hi,
Don.
There. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, roar like a monster. Right.
Hey, guys. Hello?
Yes, what, Tom the Monster?
Josh?
What?
His birthday's on the same day as mine.
What, pardon me?
Josh Wilkinson, works at Intercom Paging.
He has the birthday on the same day that you do?
Yeah.
Oh. Congratulations, Tom.
And guess how old I'm going to be?
41.
Yep.
41.
Yep, 41 and holding.
I remembered your birthday, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, you did too.
Because we're friends.
Hey,
yeah.
Tom.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Tom, if you're 41 this year, how old will you be in 5 years?
40, 50.
Perfect.
Perfect. 40, 50.
40, 50. 50. Tom, how do you spell 50?
50?
How do you spell?
F-I-V-E.
Perfect.
Right.
That's it.
Correct.
And all right, everybody's out there listening, the website is up and running.
Oh, and what do you have on TomGavin.com?
My pictures from the Fairfax High School. I got some of the Hootie Girls on there with me.
Now, hold on. Buzz mouthed to me the word nothing.
Nothing.
Have you been on TomGavin.com?
There are three or four pictures there.
Are you doing any web chats or anything, Tom?
There's a interview on there. If you guys can go to the website right now, you can hear the interview.
Well,
what do you need, real audio? We don't have that here in the studio, Tom.
Oh.
Tom, how do you spell interview?
Interview is I-N-T-V-I-T-E.
Right, that's right.
Interview.
You're correct. All right, Tom.
Guess who else's birthday is on a Saturday?
Pardon me?
Guess who else's birthday is on a Saturday?
Who, Tom?
Sarah, the nurse.
Oh, your nurse.
Your nurse?
Yeah. Your nurse.
Is she going to give you a birthday present, Tom?
I'll get her a birthday present.
I bet you will.
Yes, there is. Hey, Tom.
Buzz.
Use this one on her. Tell her you want to give her some penicillin.
Penicillin.
Yeah.
Penicillin.
You like that. You love that.
All right, you monster. Let me hear your roar. All right, bye, Tom.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Bye.
So much different since we had lunch.
There he goes.
Yeah.
You notice his calls are different.
Mikey's inspired with confidence
now. I understand that.
He's got his website. He's a single, successful guy.
Yeah, Sarah's going to give him something for his birthday. Or he's going to give Sarah something.
You went to the website, Buzz?
Yeah, I went yesterday. Now,
and?
Like I said, there are three or four pictures. Or there were at the time. They said there was going to be an interview. He says it's up now, so maybe it is.
All right, everybody. It's time for the news and the comments with Buzz.
In a world.
world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
right,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
They're both of me.
He made it up.
It's Buzz. And Buzz, what's your lead story tonight?
Tonight, Americans may have trouble voting, but they know their way around a lottery ticket.
All right, everybody, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and
coming
comments.
Up coming on up. The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, buddy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Just like 4 solid hours of prostate manipulation. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz, let me see very quickly if we have any contestants for the freak show.
Okay.
I see Lisa's put people on hold. Hello.
Hey, boys.
Donaldo E. Miguel, hi there.
Hey, boys.
Hi.
Hey, I know the show is ever forward, but I just wanted to mention there was a fight that you guys had one time between grandma and grandpa's, and you had an older man and an older gentleman, and it wound up being so friendly at the end that they nearly got together, but I think the older guy was...
You mean an older guy? And you said an older man and an older gentleman.
Yeah, my bad.
What, was it an older man and an older woman? Or
yes,
was it
yes.
Guys?
All right, we'll think see. It was over the Furby or the...
Yeah, it was a Furby fight, a man versus a woman, and the man eventually called her a lesbian, and he won.
And you know why we ended up going with that? It was because it was a grandparent.
Yeah, that's I know. Right. I know, but it was
right.
Great.
All right, thank you, my friend.
See ya.
Thank you, bye-bye. Thanks for the call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? You looking for a freak?
Pardon me?
You looking for a freak?
Of course we are.
Yes.
Yeah, this is good, nigga, and I got a job I can do for you.
Oh, BN, what do you want, BN?
No, I want to join the contest.
All right.
Join the contest.
All right, what's your freakitude?
Well, if Mr. Forty's there, if he would open his mouth, I could prove to y'all that I could shove at least 10 to 15 large, ample, willing to ready and cock to explode.
He wanted to do something with Mr. Forty's throat.
Very it bad. Was not very nice.
That BN.
He's a problem.
He is indeed. Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Lottery fever has once again struck nearly half the country. Folks have been lining up at convenience stores in 20 states and the District of Columbia today for tonight's $130 million Powerball drawing.
Tonight?
Tonight.
Dennis! Dennis Murphy!
Some of the biggest winners have been in Wisconsin, but the biggest jackpot was won in Ohio. Their 13 co-workers split a $295 million jackpot.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
A lot of retards.
The five numbers plus a Powerball number will be drawn tonight at just before 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
The key, of course, is getting the Powerball number.
That's
you get a lot of people sometimes can match all the other numbers.
That's right.
Get that Powerball number. Dennis, please buy me several tickets.
Despite the nasty weather, there are long lines to buy lottery tickets in Japan. The Japanese economy hasn't been all that great lately, and $1 billion is up for grabs.
What do they do when they go? Do they pick little pictures?
I mean, I don't know how they're...
Do they have numbers, or they have, like...
They go to kiosks.
I know, but
right?
What I'm saying is, you know how when you look at Japanese writing sometimes,
oh, the
right?
characters, the figures.
They have little pictures. Like, you think instead of the number one, they've got, like...
They've got a character in Japanese for the number one.
Sure. Right.
Right. That's what it looks like.
And
it's a Japanese number.
And then they have a character for number two.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Masatoshi Ono. I wish to buy several lottery tickets since I lost my job as head of Bridgestone Firestone. Top individual prize there, nearly $2 million.
I want to pray the rotary. A row.
A row.
I will like to choose the dragon. And also I will like to choose the five-pointed star that Jackie Chan draw in his movie. Those are my numbers I'm selecting.
You are referring to the new movie that is on pay-per-view.
Shanghai Noon. I logged some time with it.
Did you, Jackie Chan?
I do like Jackie Chan.
I might log time with that tonight.
He kicks ass.
Yeah.
Except you're supposed to believe that he's an Indian. I mean, you're supposed to believe that Jackie Chan is like, you know, like a hunna, hina, hunna, hina.
Native American.
Yes, that kind of an Indian.
It's a tribute to him as an actor. You believe that he's a Native American.
Oh, yeah,
he's
sure
good.
Do.
He's Jackie good. Chan. He is a, we'll bring over better Native Americans from Japan.
In my opinion, nothing significant happened today in the presidential race.
I just like to say Jackie Chan is Chinese, correct?
Not yes. Japanese.
That's correct.
Same diff.
That's correct. He is Chinese.
I would like to clarify.
Of all the court dates connected with the election from hell, you may not have heard about this one. Circle December 6th on your calendar.
What's that, next Wednesday?
That's the Whatever calendar, Tuesday, whatever it is. Yeah, on the 6th. That's the trial date for a case that could throw nearly 5,000 votes and the whole shooting match to Al Gore. The trial's expected to last one day. A Democratic voter by the name of Harry Jacobs is suing Seminole County and the Bush campaign, and now he has a court date. He says the Republican election supervisor in that county corrupted the integrity of the electoral process by letting Republican workers alter about 4,700 applications for absentee ballots. Bush campaign officials admit that 4,700 votes is a gap they could never close. Quoting one Bush official, "It would sink us."
I'd just like to say that I am seeing more and more in the polls on TV.
Yes, you're right.
More and more people are feeling like I felt 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Like, they're just friggin' sick of it.
This has been going on so long. I hear a story like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if a judge ruled for that, I mean, they're just going to appeal and appeal and appeal, right?
Yeah, the truth is there are so many legal things going in so many different directions. Who knows which one's going to settle it?
But a lot of this, seriously, even if that happened, you would have the appeals process, which would go past the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And I don't think that December 12th date, once it gets to that date, I just don't think anything changes.
That's where everything
really
stops.
And as a matter of fact, I don't think he's got a chance. And I'll tell you why I don't think he's got a chance. Because of that December 12th date. It's very easy right now to stall this process, as everybody has known.
Mm-hmm.
And by December 12th, I don't think it's just not going to go backwards.
Can't wait till after December 12th. There's talk that someone...
I would bet you it continues after December 12th.
I don't see how it can.
I don't know if it can. I guess it's possible, but that's the deadline for the Electoral College.
What's today, November 29th?
You already have a bet, though, that says that it'll be resolved or won't be resolved by the 15th.
What's our bet? December.
It was just a gentleman's bet.
Yeah, no stakes, but Mike says it will be resolved.
Everything I read, you know, this Electoral College thing, even if they are able to revisit it, it's just going to be difficult to overturn that, and that's when the legislature in Florida comes into play. I think...
even when you're saying all that stuff...
It's truly amazing.
Which is true. You know what it is?
It is a CF.
It's all such... showbiz. It's 100% showbiz. I'm so tired of hearing, well, if this happens or this happens.
You know what I wish?
This court and this court.
I really wish all this crap would be consolidated, sent to the Supreme Court, get the final word on it, and just do it.
You know,
just get it done. He's either going to get these votes counted, these votes thrown out, or not. And all this separate stuff, it's ridiculous.
It's somebody with a set of balls.
I like a coin flip at this
point.
You
know, just go to freaking Judge Wapner. I don't care. Go to Judge Judy. Just go to somebody with a big set of balls and say, listen.
And a big stick, and I think you have to go to the United States Supreme Court.
Here's all the crap. Just tell us who wins. You know, one shot.
That'd be nice. Just do it. That'd be real nice.
I'm sick of it, because really, I'm very close to finding Chris Matthews.
Good.
And hurting him. And it's not because I mean, he's a pro-Bush guy.
Uh-huh.
It's not because of his slant on things.
No.
It's just... I don't need to see him on my TV every second of every day.
There's a lot of that.
He's annoying, man. He's the Tom Arnold of the political junkies.
Very nervous, man.
Very edgy.
He is.
He's not nervous. He's wired. He's got that twitch.
Wound up.
You know who his wife is?
Down Drago. Well, Thanksgiving was a big one. The weekend. It was a big one. Yeah. 4 days ago.
Right.
How about you and Laura?
We're planning on one tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, rescheduling that. Planning on just a big one tonight.
Late. I'll call and ask. I mean, like, you know, on Thanksgiving, it really wasn't a knockdown dragout, but it was a fight that lasted.
It was tense.
A couple of hours.
Ugly. I kind of think that I'm at a better stage in my marriage now because we can get meteoric very quickly and then rebound very quickly. Faster than we used to.
Are you calling your wife right now?
Yeah.
All right, call her. Ask her the last time you had a real fight with her.
Okay. Oh, it's busy. She's on the phone.
I think either today or yesterday we had one where it was just like, F you. And then like 10 minutes later I went into the kitchen.
Okay, but
I always forgotten, and that's new for us. That's very new for us.
That would count, though.
As a knockdown dragout.
If the F word was used.
Yeah.
If it was F you.
Right.
You know,
and it was serious. It wasn't, you know, I mean, not serious, seriously.
No, but I mean, if it gets...
But what's great about it is now it's kind of accepted, you know? And when the kids aren't around, you know, if we were in the office, and it was just like, F you. And then I came back out. I said, what's going on? And we resumed, like, normal relations. And I looked at it as kind of a turning point.
Excellent. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That does count as an argument, though.
Good.
After you.
And Buzz?
Yes.
She's still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm
done. You know what that is right there? That's the reason to have a fight.
I'm going
to
have a word with
you. I tried to call you one time.
The phone's ringing.
All right.
Newsroom.
Hello?
Newsroom.
Marcia?
Newsroom.
Oh, there's no one there. No, now it's ringing back. I don't know.
Election Central.
Newsroom.
Newsroom.
Television City in Hollywood. What do you want me to say? Kitchen?
Hello, Newsroom.
Just go, you know what? Really, what would work is if you pick up the phone and say, Burbank. Hello? Burbank. I don't know. The phone's gone.
All right. Let's try her again.
All right.
Call her again.
Okay.
Call her again.
Answer the phone by saying ahoy, ahoy.
Takemaki Beachside.
And I think when the phone rang back to you, Buzz, that was the busyness ending and the phone telling you that that was your line going through.
I see. Well, it's still busy.
Newsroom. Perfect.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Beep, beep. Okay, time out.
Yeah?
Be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
You've got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I forgot.
I always take you with me. Everywhere I go.
Army's Minions, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Get all of your own lady?
I hope you're happy now.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, no. I tried to call her cell phone, no answer. I tried to call at home, no answer. Reason? She's not listening to the show. She's on the telephone talking to somebody. So we haven't had a fight recently, according to her. I finally got through, but, you know, I think we will now. So I hope you're happy.
You're lying.
I talked to her, and I said, when did we have the last fight, or we didn't speak to each other, or we bickered, or anything? And she said, I can't remember that happening.
That's right, because you hit the jackpot.
There you have it.
Hello.
Hello?
Don and Mike Show. Okay, now this is a lady who wants to tell me something secret about the Redskins, right?
Ooh.
But you don't want to tell me on the radio?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on, please. I'll take your call off the air. Hold on.
Your Redskins secret. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear the secret in a moment.
Hi, you're off the air. I promise. If you tell me this, at your job, okay, honey, just tell me what it is you know. I don't need the background.
We're waiting.
Now,
I can't say anything to anybody who has to do anything to do with the Redskins.
But hey, what the hell is the point of calling a radio station?
She wants to tell me off the air. What is it that you know? Okay, I promise I won't repeat what you're saying right now. What is
Norv going to get fired?
What is it? Okay, you can call back after it happens. What is it?
Oh God, this is tedious.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. This sounds like it might be good. Nothing to do with like somebody being fired.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm trying to tell the guys that it's not like about Norv Turner being fired. Okay. All right. So go ahead with what you were saying.
Is it a scandal? Hold on.
Okay.
He's being told right now. I'm preventing dead air.
Okay.
Happening.
I understand. All right, now what she's telling me is something serious, and I'm going to honor her request.
Uh-huh.
So please tell me more details about this. Okay. By who?
This is driving me nuts. It's on the beach.
Oh, honey, that's an old story. Please hold on a second.
I was afraid of that.
You know, Jesus Christ. I think I'm getting a bulletin.
It's like the old story.
The old groundskeeper at Redskins Park is suing Snyder.
Oh, that is old news.
That's old news. It's been public.
Talked about that long ago.
She's serving him with papers in 2 days. God.
How about this lame-ass analysis?
Yeah. I mean, here I am thinking, you know, it's going to be some giant story about some Redskin being...
Or to the paper! Yes,
Bob, we're going to be serving the paper papers in 2 days, and I work in the county, and you can't say anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, it's a groundskeeper who's suing Daniel Snyder.
Duh.
Come on, that it was in the newspaper, honey. Jesus.
How about this lame-ass analysis?
Sorry about that, Buzz.
There have been a couple of emergency landings within the last couple of hours, one of them in Atlanta by an AirTran flight. Shortly after takeoff, the pilot reported smoke in the cockpit.
AirTran? That's unusual.
Mostly everybody's okay. No serious injuries sliding down the slide.
And remember, it's not AirTran. It's ValueJet.
and American Airlines made an emergency landing at Dulles International Airport here in Washington after taking off from Reagan National Airport here in Washington.
Oh, that's about 12 miles.
That's about, yeah, about 10 minutes. A smoke or heat of some kind was reported on that plane.
Yes. Yeah, pretty convenient after that USA Today expose and the bad wiring.
Yeah.
Watch out.
When pigs fly, they can fly first class. That's the ruling from the Federal Aviation Administration.
Mike and I always do.
FAA says U.S. Airways did nothing wrong.
We eat our way across the country.
By letting a pig fly from Philadelphia to Seattle in October first class.
There was one particular flight attendant I remember who leaned over right when we were seated. And I'm sure she thought we were pigs. Do you remember that particular flight?
That little bad.
Right in her face.
We had some bad gas. And on an airplane, you know, the air doesn't circulate. I mean, it's the same air just being reprocessed over and over again.
I have a friend of mine that actually waits sometimes till he's on the airplane to let those go.
That's bad manners, you know.
Yes, it is.
People complained when Maria Andrews took her 300-pound pot-bellied pig, Charlotte, on that flight. They complained because as the plane was landing, Charlotte freaked out and tried to bust her way into the cockpit and then ran down the aisle spraying feces everywhere.
Oh, no.
The government says U.S. Air acted in an reasonable and thoughtful manner.
And they just kill the pig?
No. The law allows service animals to accompany passengers to their seats, and Maria says she has a severe heart condition and needed Charlotte with her.
Wow.
Give that woman a miniature horse.
There you go.
That's the problem.
You have to be blind for that.
Hold on, Buzz. Let me see who this is.
Hello, Donna.
Go ahead.
Be glad you weren't on Delta Flight 6024 from Birmingham, Alabama into New York's LaGuardia Airport Monday night. You would have been trapped on that plane on the ground for more than 3.5 hours.
I heard about this on the news today. Sons of bitches.
Officials at LaGuardia say the whole mess was unnecessary.
Listen to this. Well, Buzz, I know the story.
Okay.
Okay, the plane flies from Alabama to New York.
Lands in New York.
They get to LaGuardia. Okay? There's no gates open. So the flight, which is like 3 hours, the people sit on the plane for almost 4 hours because they can't get a gate. What airline?
It was Delta, and Delta's gates were not available. The airport officials say if Delta would have just picked up a phone, the airport would have been happy to open up another gate or to send a bus out to the plane to carry everybody back to the terminal. But
do you remember when, was it American Air? No, it was TWA, when we missed our connection to Ireland?
Yes.
And do you remember when we landed at, I think, Kennedy Airport in New York? The same thing happened where we just sat there.
I mean, but we didn't sit for 3 hours.
We didn't sit for 3 hours. But what's astonishing to me is when you make these trips and you've got other airlines with open gates and they won't let, they seem to not want to use them.
4 hours in the air, another 3.5 on the ground. There's talk that someone on the
But the Sky Deli is great.
Oh, yeah. Yum.
I have to say that for the record. We love the Sky Deli.
Love them bagels.
Buzz, we got a break again.
Oh, man.
We're coming back with another segment.
Oh, good.
Don't worry. Yeah, we have more news.
I'm excited.
And incidentally, I've blown off that stupid rule they gave me about playing all the commercials by 7:30.
Yay.
Because, you know, the junkies come on at 7:30, and I listen to them every night. God bless them. They just don't play commercials.
Good for them.
So listen, our show will just go on until it goes on.
Amen.
I mean, we still got to try to be done around 7.
More or less.
But, you know, they've been coming to me recently and say, listen, you really got to get all the commercials. But you got to be in your last stop set at 7:30 so that the junks can get on by 7:36 so that they can play commercials by 8 o'clock. And I feel like a dope because I'm doing it and they're not. And I mean, you know, more power to them.
Right.
You know, who wants to slow down the show by playing commercials?
Exactly. Who do the powers that be think they are? Steve Kingston?
Yeah. Jackasses. Hold on, Buzz.
All right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The writing is delicious.
Ladies, step into their studio and talk to St. Peter. The Don and Mike Show.
This is tomorrow. We're going to get all the freaks together for Friday's freak show for $1,000 from hotwire.com.
All right.
Also tomorrow, one day early,
here I go.
Be picking the pros until they scab and bleed. Tomorrow from Fox NFL, Terry Bradshaw will be coming back
on
the show.
That is always exciting.
Brand new low budget Jeff RD for you.
Good.
The dad versus dad cage match thing. And don't forget, we are playing paintball
against the sales weasels
right.
Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but they're dropping like flies.
Come on out and watch us at Pev's Paintball. If you need directions or information about our battle versus the sales staff, call Pev's Paintball at 888-826-7387.
If you need directions, you might want to get a GPS.
Here now is Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. About Robert Downey Jr. and about that Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah.
It was the only costume found in Downey's room, and it was seen being worn by a woman, not by Downey, and not by a transvestite, as internet and call-in rumors had it yesterday. This woman, Laura Burnett, talked about some of this on Access Hollywood. She says she met Downey a few days before the arrest at the club where she works. One source says it was almost as if Downey wanted to be caught because the source says Downey knew the police were on their way to his room.
All the while I'm waiting for you.
Spin around, Robert. And your magical breath.
She's got big teeth. RDJ was back on the set of Ally McBeal yesterday, and in the Nielsen race, Ally won the hour among 18 to 49-year-olds for the first time this season because of all the publicity.
That's great. Patricia Heaton should think about getting arrested.
Yeah, fantastic. Stephen King said all along that if too few of his readers paid their way on his latest internet novel, he'd pull the plug. Yesterday, he pulled the plug.
Good for him.
He says that because of all the deadbeats, he'll put his e-novel, The Plant, on hold for a year to write three regular novels. He said he'd keep writing so long as 75% of the readers paid their way through the honor system. The latest chapter was downloaded by 41,000 readers, but only 46% of them paid for it.
Oh, yes. Suckers.
And while magician David Blaine is yanking our chains, somebody was yanking his yesterday.
Why, that ice should have melted, Mr. Blaine.
The only logical way to urinate while standing inside that block of ice is with a catheter.
Right.
And yesterday, someone using a vacuum cleaner to pick up the melted ice around the magician accidentally snagged the catheter tube.
Oh, no.
Witnesses say he was screaming and banging on the front of the ice because it hurt. David's also getting cold inside his ice cube. Yesterday, he put on the sweater that had just been tied around his waist.
One more, Buzz.
In Michigan, the firearm hunting season ends tomorrow, and not a moment too soon.
Hey, Michigan.
No fewer than six hunters have been shot to death during the 16-day season.
Oh, dear.
The problem, according to the state's Natural Resources Department, is hunters trying to climb trees with loaded guns.
From my cold, dead hand.
They're climbing the platform some 20 feet off the ground that exists for the purpose of shooting animals. These platforms have been legal for gun hunters for the last couple of years. The hunters slip, the guns go off, they accidentally kill their partner. In two cases, they accidentally killed themselves. During the bow hunting season, three of those guys died while climbing trees.
Heavenly thank you, Buzz.
Let's go hunt.
You know, something funny about hunters killing themselves.
I don't know what it is.
A little irony.
It's a little comedy.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're back.
Call 100 now, 877-365-3636. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What makes you all so sure Godzilla is dead?
The guaranteed cure for honeymoon peptitis. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here's Buzz.
In sports, Mike Yucina's narrowed it down to three teams, and Baltimore's not one of them. Boston, the Yankees, and the Mets made the final cut, the Yankees being the likely choice. The pitcher's agent says his 31-year-old client should make a decision by the end of the week.
Yankees.
And finally, Wesley Ridgewell admits it. Yes, he says that was him speeding through Florida's toll booths without paying. Not once, not twice, but 700 times.
Wow.
Now Wesley will pay more than $7,000 in fines. Officials have hundreds of photographs of Wesley's license plate, which spells out the words, just crazy.
Nice.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes!
No!
Mike, that's it. We must go. All right. Listen, my friend Shotgun Mark Rivers wants a plug, so here you go for his internet site, moneyroom.com.
Money.
Tomorrow, Pitcher Pros, Jeff R.D., and more of our final recall for Friday's show.
Great.
When we give away $1,000 from hotwire.com.
All right.
5,000 call number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Caller 100.
No, I'm sorry you're not. Thank you, though.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
Oh. You sure?
Yes, I am, sir.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you say so. Bye-bye.
What a dick.
We mean what a dick. Now, come on. I'm still here.
No, no. What I mean is, do you listen to the show?
Yeah.
Do you listen about this time every day?
Well, sometimes I'm from out of town, so I don't get hold of
it. All right. The last caller of the day has to be assertive.
Very.
Like, I am caller 100.
Well, I am caller 100.
And you see, you said it with a question mark. And you're not.
Too late now.
And we do that to everybody. You're not being singled out.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye. You dick. He's still there. Uh-huh.
He's still hanging in there.
Still there.
What the hell? I might as well.
All right, I give it to you. What's your name?
My name's Bob.
Bob, where are you from?
Actually, I'm from Ohio. When the hell are you guys going to get over there?
Bob, I don't need your bio. Bob, what city are you calling from?
I'm in Warrenton right now.
Beautiful. Okay, Bob.
Yes.
Bob, you have won the special limited edition 30-minute prepaid first-class Grinch phone card, courtesy of the U.S. Postal Service.
Bob?
Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob's phone is
Bob. Stop by your local post office to buy the perfect holiday gift. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Even though you didn't know the rules.
All that for that. From out
Thank
of town.
You, Bob.
All
Thanks,
right.
Bob.
Thanks, Bob. What about Bob? Bob? Oh, yeah, dick.
We will...
Merry Christmas, Dick.
See you tomorrow with the all-new episode.
Bob.
Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dick. Hey, where is he? Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I want to make sure you're still there, Bob.
Hang in there, Bob,
yeah.
You dick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I hear you. Right. I'll get you back at your next show, don't
All right.
Believe me.
Hey, Bob, stop being a dick.
Can't help it.
All right, hold on, right. Dickweed. We will see you tomorrow.
All right, Dick Man.
This
is the Dick Man. Okay, Robbie, throw your Santa Claus hat in the air.
All right,
just like Dick. Tyler, more.
You might
oh,
very nice.
Wow. You got a
list. How about you, Dick? See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, Dick.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, you know, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.